The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, October 17th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Representative Elijah Cummings of Baltimore died early Thursday at the age of 68. Cummings died at Johns Hopkins Hospital at 2:45 a.m. from complications concerning longstanding health challenges that he said that that would keep him away from work for about a week, his office said. The House Oversight and Reform Committee chairman, a Democrat and 23-year House veteran, was a key figure in the impeachment inquiry into President Trump and a recent target of intense criticism from the president. Cummings missed two roll call votes Thursday, the first day back following a two-week House recess. He previously released a statement saying that he'd be back by the time the session resumed. He hadn't taken part in a roll call vote since September 11th.
Listen, you know, the recent footage of him, he seemed full of energy and vital. And
a bit shocking.
Caught me completely off guard.
Yeah. Sad. The procedure already caused Cummings to miss a September hearing on Washington, D.C.'s statehood. He previously was treated for knee and heart issues, but right now they're just saying that he has died from longstanding health challenges. Three people have died after a multi-passenger van carrying 11 people overturned on Wednesday in Chester County, according to Pennsylvania State Police. Authorities say the van somehow lost control and crashed around 2:27 p.m. on Route 1, just north of Newark Road in New Garden Township. One person was thrown from the vehicle. Two others were trapped in the van and had to be extracted by fire rescue teams. Three people died in the wreck. Eight others are being treated for unknown injuries. State police have not released the identities of the victims pending notification of next of kin. Some of the victims may have ties to the snack company Hers. A Hers spokesperson said that they were not full-time employees, but the vehicle may have contained some employees from a temp service at the time of the statement that the statement was released. That's all the information that they had. A 5-mile section of Route 1 was shut down yesterday, but all has since reopened. The cause of the accident remains under investigation. A youth football coach from Conshohocken says he will fight a $500 fine because he didn't stop one of his players from scoring a touchdown. It happened on Saturday morning during a football game for the youth team Conshohocken Bears. They were blowing out their opponent, as the coach says is typical for the season. All of the kids are 5 to 7 years old. The league rule is the team can outscore an opponent by more than 30 points. On Saturday, Coach Kyle Williams had all of his backups in the game. He says he asked the refs to throw a flag as a runner broke loose. They didn't. His backup running back scored. Bears coach Kyle Williams explained that it was the kids' chance to see the end zone, and he didn't want to fall down, so the kid scored. In a video of the touchdown, you can see Williams sprinting down the sideline alongside the running back, trying to convince the 5-year-old to stop. According to Williams, the referee said, "You should have tripped him while he was running down the sideline."
The ref told him he should have tripped the kid. What the hell?
I'm not familiar with. Is this a policy?
Sometimes. I mean,
I've never heard of it.
Well, yeah. There's baseball rules. There's 10-run rules and things like that. Yeah. So if a league has a rule where there's, you know, at a certain point, I'm fine with that. But a $500 fine and the fact that a ref can't go, "Look, dude, I saw you trying to stop this."
Yeah.
He's five.
Come years on. Old.
He probably had never seen the end zone before.
Let the kid have a thrill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. For Christ's sake.
Here's the deal. I will pay that fine for him.
Right. Seriously.
And I'm saying this live on the air. I will pay your fine for
His brother-in-law is Torrey Smith, so I think that he can pay
that. Oh, really? Yeah. Me and Torrey Smith, we're going to get together. We're going to have lunch together for a couple of hours.
Right. And talk about a strategy. And then maybe he'll come over for a barbecue. But
the funny part today is the big debate's going to be kids ought to be, you know, it's, against the blowout rule. That'll be the main
I've never heard of
discussion.
The blowout rule. Well,
sure. For baseball, you've never heard of a 10-run rule?
No, I haven't. Okay. Yeah.
I have only heard of it in baseball. I've never heard of it anywhere else. So that's the thing, Preston. They end the game. They don't ask kids to strike out on purpose.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't.
Right.
They don't say,
just
you're
end
right.
the game.
You just end the game.
Yeah.
Right. Game's over.
You hit the mark. End the game.
Yeah. End the game. I coached basketball a couple of seasons ago, and we didn't lose by less than 20 points every single game. And I was like, you know, hey, guys, here's a lesson for you. Go out there, have fun, play your hardest, and sometimes life hands you your
ass. Yeah, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you get blown out. However, though, it might be prudent to give the refs BB guns.
Yeah.
So that they can take out an ankle if a kid's running too fast.
There you go.
Here's the other thing. At that age as well, kids don't really understand. You know, kids are like, "Wow, we lost 52-0." They don't know. You know what they get to go to the snack bar afterwards. They get like a free pizza candy.
They'll
like
get over
you know.
It.
They get a root beer or something like that. Yeah.
Also, when they're five, just tell them they won.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did I? Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh.
The fine is $500 towards the league, and the coach could be suspended for 2 games. He has a hearing with the Keystone State Youth Football League on Monday. William's brother-in-law, like we mentioned, is former Eagle wide receiver Torrey Smith. He fired off a series of tweets defending Williams. One said, "Kids need to learn to deal with failure. Don't want to get shamed. Play better." In sports this morning... The Flyers lost to the Oilers last night in Edmonton, falling 6-3. Connor McDavid had a goal and 4 assists, and Leon Draisaitl added 2 goals and an assist, and the Oilers duo continued their hot start to the season. In the win, the Flyers will be back.
They should have a high score rule in the NHL.
On Saturday night as they face off against the Dallas Stars, game time is scheduled for 7 o'clock. Game 4 of the American League Championship Series between the New York Yankees and the Houston Astros was rained out last night and has been rescheduled for tonight. Zach Greinke will get the start for Houston, while Masahiro Tanaka will pitch for the Yankees. Game time at Yankee Stadium is set for 8 o'clock. And boxer Patrick Day died yesterday, 4 days after he was knocked out during his bout with Charles Conwell on Saturday night in Chicago. Day, who is only 27 years old, died after a traumatic brain injury he suffered that night. He was surrounded by his family, close friends, and members of his boxing team, including his mentor, friend, and trainer, Joe Higgins. Boxing promoter Joe DiBella said in a statement. In a Twitter post addressed to Day, Conwell wrote, he never meant this to happen to you. All I wanted to do was win. If I could take it all back, I would. No one deserves this to happen to them. I replay the fight over and over in my head, thinking, what if this never happened, and why did it happen to you?
Did you see that hit?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
So sad. Awful. Yeah. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Thursday morning is what we have, and plenty of things for you. First of all, a trip to the premiere of Warner Brothers Pictures' Dr. Sleep in Los Angeles coming up on Tuesday, October 29th. That's our Word of the Week prize, so don't miss out. It's only 3 letters you need this week. I don't even know what yesterday's letter was. I had to take off.
Yeah, she had to leave early for the Laurel House event.
Yeah, before the exciting letter was revealed. So.
Pierre came rushing in.
Did and he?
He delivered.
He was already here.
Yeah, he still came rushing in.
Preston, you know how he likes to tinker around with the HVAC systems.
As a hobby, he likes to fix stuff around here.
He is a Mr. Fix.
Yeah, oh no, he God. Was actually, he was recording an interview.
Yeah.
That's right.
I actually,
an HVAC company.
Yeah, I didn't actually expect him to run in, and
no,
he did.
Wow.
He loves giving that letter.
All right, so we're going to give that away tomorrow. We have some guests on the program. We have Alejandro Bedoya, who is the captain of the Philadelphia Union. They are playing New York on Sunday, and this is our first playoff game in Chester since 2011.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so exciting stuff, especially for... the team members and fans of the Union. So he's going to be stopping by for a quick interview around the Bazaar.
Might be our one and only hope here with him.
Yeah.
Shaking out.
I know. We're also going to have joining us a gentleman that Marissa met with the other day and was like, hey, this guy might be worth having on the show. He's very cool. He is the senior producer of the Conan O'Brien show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to be stopping in, and we'll find out more about how Marissa met him and what that was all about. His name is Aaron Blayart. He will be in, and also really looking forward to having this gentleman in the studio. You may not know his name, but you... Oh, he's going to be on the phone.
On the phone.
I thought he was in the studio.
Phone will be in the studio.
The phone will be in our studio.
And it'll probably be a good connection. He's known for his good connection.
His name is John Capellos, and he's a character actor, and he did a lot of work with John Hughes. If you remember in The Breakfast Club, he was Carl the janitor.
A pivotal character.
In 16 Candles, he was the oily bohunk who was marrying the sister.
Weird Science.
In Weird Science, he's one of these guys that's hanging out at the bar and asks Lisa why she's hanging out with a bunch of malacas. A couple of malacas.
What can I say?
She's into malacas. So he's going to be on the show, which is really cool.
If you go through his list of film credits, he has been in so many good things. He's also been in a number, and he's got stories to tell about movies he appeared in and for some reason wasn't credited.
And he's also going to be in the next season of Umbrella Academy, which I'm excited for. So we have that and a few other things going on through the course of the morning. I'll find some stuff that we have to give away. I'm certain of it. And, yeah, let's take a break and come back and get to the stupid question, entertainment report, and all that stuff. We shall return shortly. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
For the stupid question, we are giving away a pair of tickets for Disney in concert, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas with Philly Pops, which is going to be Thursday, October 24th. At the Met. And the question I have, so I was telling Marissa over the weekend, I actually watched part of Billy Madison. I've never seen the whole movie.
She's been committed to getting you to see this movie.
Yes. And so I'm going to do a question about a swan.
Okay.
Okay.
Because we play that clip all the time of Stop Looking at Me, Swan. here's the question for you. What is the proper term for a young swan?
I know this one.
You do know this one. Okay, 215-263-WMMR. What is the proper term for a young swan?
Stop looking at me, swan.
And you, your takeaway was that it was far dumber than you had originally anticipated.
Yes.
But you did laugh at a few points.
I did giggle at some stuff, but that particular scene is... I felt embarrassed while watching it.
It's asinine.
It's just moronic. Yeah. But
I know it sounds very smart.
Some of the things were humorous. They were definitely funny, but that was just that was stupid. All right. Anyway, let's see if you know what a young swan is called. 215-263-WMMR. Birthdays today. It's my time killer while you're calling in. October 17th. Eminem has his birthday today. Marshall Mathers is his real name. And he's celebrating his 47th birthday today.
He's been all over the place, the way I perceive him over the years. Loathed him, but we are familiar with one particular act of kindness he did that I think will always leave him in the plus column.
I could probably say what it is by now. There was, unfortunately, a family that I know whose young son was terminal. He was dying, and Eminem was his hero. And we and a few other people helped kind of get word to Eminem and see if he could... do something, and he did a Skype call with him, and I saw the video of the call, and he was wonderful. He was so great talking to this kid. It was a beautiful thing. It really was. So he turned my heart.
There you go.
On Eminem, and I do love this song, by the way. This is a great tune.
We listen to this quite a bit. This is whenever we're going to a game. Like a sporting event that my kids are playing in. This is I have a whole playlist of pump up songs. And
this is a great pump up song. Yeah. And I'm getting ready to do a bowel movement.
Yes. I'm going to lose myself. I'm going to flush it.
Yeah.
Mom's spaghetti. I see it going down the toilet there. Eminem is 47 years old today. Felicity Jones, the actress, she is adorable.
Yeah.
Theory of Everything. She played the wife in that. And then Rogue One.
I put that in my top two favorite Star Wars movies of all time. I love that movie.
Yep, it's great. She's 36 years old today. Mike Judge, the creative genius behind Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, and Office Space.
And he legitimately is a genius. He's a member of Mensa.
He celebrates his 57th birthday today. Steve, a comedic genius, you would agree. Norm MacDonald has his birthday today as well.
Just the best. His special, his last Netflix special, is effing hilarious.
And Norm is celebrating number 56 today.
We found out from, who did we find out from recently? Was it... Meredith? Who told us Norm MacDonald is a top level poker player.
Oh, we just had
Michael Ian Black. Michael Ian Black, yes.
George Wendt, from Cheers.
Just made an appearance on the Goldbergs.
Oh, did he?
Yes, the cast of Cheers.
That's right. You told me about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Making you.
Was he playing George Wendt, or was he
playing,
playing
a George Wendt? He was playing a Norm type character.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is 71 today. Michael McKean. That guy's been in so much stuff.
Phenomenal.
First got to know him as from Laverne and Shirley.
He was Lenny.
And then he was in Spinal Tap. And
you and I are big fans of a movie called Used Cars, a Robert Zemeckis film.
God, I forgot about that.
And they make an appearance in that, and they are critical to some of the biggest laughs.
Yes, agreed.
He's the he plays Saul Goodman's brother in Better Call Saul.
Oh,
yeah, he's like, a good dramatic actor.
He's,
yeah,
he's just kind of got it all.
And OCD in a really crippling way in Better Call Saul.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he can't go outside.
Wow.
Is that agoraphobia?
It's that plus a whole bunch of other issues. It's complicated, but he's really good in it.
And of course,
it's not agoraphobia at all. It has to do with technology and, like, electricity.
Electricity-phobia.
Well, no, his body reacts negatively to electricity.
Okay.
So,
okay. Interesting. All right. Interesting, and, of course, the Christopher Guest stuff, Best in Show, and A Mighty Wind, and... I think it was in For Your Consideration. He's been in all of those. So he's 72 today. Dr. May C. Jemison is the first African-American woman in space.
Huh.
And she celebrates her 63rd birthday today.
She finally came back, right?
Legendary. She did
is
return.
Is this the week scheduled for the all-female spacewalk?
Is it this week?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. They had to delay it the first time, right?
Yeah, and I believe it's the first time in history that it's nothing but women that in charge of the getting out into the space and then actually doing the spacewalk itself.
It's a little weird that NASA's promoting it as chicks in space.
Yeah.
it's a little demeaning, does it?
Yeah.
Look what these chicks can do. Just like
that. It reminds me of the Muppet Show.
Pigs in space.
Remember that?
Yeah, that'd be a little more offensive.
Yeah. Well, it'd be, yes, quite offensive, but it rhymes.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And then the last birthday, I saw Ziggy Marley. Ziggy Marley is 51 years old
Tomorrow,
today.
People?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a good song.
Let's do it today.
Yeah. No, that's the name of the song.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So he's 51 today. Happy birthday. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is the proper term for a young swan? 215-263-WMMR. It is Melissa that's going to take a shot at it. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, I'm so excited.
Yay, I heard you gasp. Melissa, what do you call a baby swan, please?
It is a cygnet.
A cygnet.
Yay!
Yay!
Stop looking at me, swan.
Hang on a second, Melissa. We are going to give you a pair of tickets for Disney and concert, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas with the Philly Pops, presented by WMMR, Thursday, October 24th at the Met Philly, and you can come in costume for Halloween.
It's going to be cool.
And enjoy the classic movie with a live score. Tickets for both shows, October 24th and 25th, are on sale now via PhillyPops.org. So, a lot of interesting and pretty intense stories to pass along to you. Ron Eli, is that how you say his last name?
Yes, he used to play a Tarzan on TV.
He was the Tarzan that I grew up knowing.
Yeah.
It was all reruns by the time I was watching it, but like every...
He wasn't a monosyllabic Tarzan.
This
he
one?
Spoke... No, that's Johnny Weissmuller.
Oh, okay.
But he was... he was very fluent. He could speak just plain, you know, English fine, and... But it was on every weekend, so I would always watch it. It was him and Jai, his companion.
Yeah, I remember it well,
and,
yeah.
And Cheetah.
Yeah.
But this is messed up. His son, Cameron, fatally stabbed his own mother, Valerie Eli, before calling 911 and placing the blame on the Tarzan actor, according to audio footage that was recently released. In Tuesday's 911 call to the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Office, the emergency dispatchers heard saying that a mail reporting party placed the call and claimed that the father tried to attack the mother. The dispatcher went on to note that someone defended someone and then the male hung up the phone. When she called back, a man responded who sounded out of breath, unintelligible, and crying. After clearing the house and sending in additional units, an officer states that on the call that he spoke with the elderly gentleman who was later identified as Ron, who confirmed that the suspect was his son and that no one else was in the house at the time of the gruesome incident. Now, Ron, who is 81, reportedly has a medical condition that prevents him from being able to clearly talk. He was able to express to the officer that he believed his son had driven away, but was unable to verbalize what car he was driving. So he can barely speak.
So, Ronnie, did he have a stroke?
They didn't indicate.
All right.
A spokesperson with the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office confirmed the officers responded to the 911 call placed at Eli's exclusive Hope Ranch home on Tuesday. When they arrived at the scene, deputies found Valerie dead inside the home with multiple stab wounds and identified the suspect as 30-year-old Cameron.
Yeah, I was reading this story, and the notion of committing of killing your mother.
Yeah. After searching the property and surrounding area, deputies located Cameron outside the home and said he posed a threat, which prompted four deputies to fire their service weapons at the suspect and fatally wounded him. The office is currently conducting criminal coroners and administrative investigations. Ron did not suffer any injuries, but was taken to the hospital as a precaution. An autopsy on both Valerie and Cameron is pending.
That's effed up.
Besides their son Cameron, Valerie and Ron and Valerie, who wed in 1984, shared two daughters, Kristen and Caitlin, who are twins, I guess. They're both 32 years old. They're both social media influencers. They're really beautiful girls.
Of course, yeah. Well, he was always a good-looking dude.
Yeah, and the wife was a former Miss Florida, I think. And they have yet to speak about it, but previously described their adoration for their parents on Instagram and in blog posts. So that's messed up, man. Imagine this. Your own son kills your wife, and then the police kill your son.
Oh, my God.
That's a bad day.
Yeah, that is a bad day.
It's just absolutely horrible.
I used to love that Tarzan, though.
I did, too.
Side note, because
I loved it.
He was more like a... he spoke fluent English, and he could drive. He used weapons.
Yeah.
But he just occasionally would put on the loincloth.
Yeah.
Because that seemed appropriate.
And he'd do his yell.
Yep.
And then you would see, like, herds of animals.
Who all heard for some reason. I mean, I know the voice can carry, but should penguins be coming in?
But they would come rumbling across the plain to the rescue.
Yeah. What do you want?
But I used to love that show. Felicity Huffman will be spending just 13 days behind bars instead of the 14 she was sentenced to.
She already had a parole hearing.
She entered FCI Dublin on Tuesday, October 15th, started her sentence after pleading guilty for bribing Rick Singer and juicing her daughter's SAT scores. The Federal Bureau of Prisons officials told TMZ that she'll be out October 27th. The prosecution originally wanted to get Huffman behind bars for a year. But when they realized the probation department wouldn't play ball, they reduced it to a month, and they got half. While she is behind bars at the reportedly cushy Dublin, she will be able to play board games and go suntanning, per TMZ.
The thing they keep pointing out as a real prison-like thing that she has to do is that her bed has to be made by 6:30 a.m.
Okay.
That is the big... Now, if you compare that to what they went through in Shawshank... That seems okay.
Meanwhile, when Huffman does return to public life, she's hoping the public will give her a second chance, insiders say. The source said she is resigned to paying her dues to society and spending her time in Dublin in a humble and quiet manner.
The question is, does someone want to, you know, will people pony up and hire an ex-con?
She has not been assigned her post-release 250 community service hours yet, but she is hoping that she'll be able to make a positive impact on underprivileged young women and women who have been recently incarcerated and released and who are attempting to reenter society.
Well, before she went in, her and her daughter were starting to do the community service. So they actually have already ticked off a number of the hours towards that 250 hours.
Here's another one. Helen, frightening car accident. The Oscar winner was taken to the hospital on Wednesday after the vehicle she was riding in was struck by another driver in mid-city area of Los Angeles. Hunt was reportedly riding in the back of a black SUV when the vehicle was clipped by another car and flipped the SUV on its side. She was taken to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, complaining of pain following the collision.
That's where her Twister experience came in handy.
She was reportedly released later in the evening after being examined by doctors.
What's the worst car accident you've ever been in? Have you ever had?
I did a head-on-head one, head-on collision. Yeah, and my airbags did not come out, but the guy who I hit did. And when those things happen, it's obviously really stunning. I thought I killed the guy because he kind of passed out. His head was slumped over the steering wheel. It was terrifying. He was fine, but it was it was one of those things where when it happened, it was
it's surreal. Bad.
It is.
I rammed into the back of a car that was a van that was stuck on a road, and it was just the absolute horrible confluence of events in a bad area, poorly lit at the top of a hill. It's just an area that's known for being bad where accidents occur. Yeah. And they were disabled in the left lane. And I remember it's like I was looking at myself, and what is this bag in my lap?
Right.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What happened? And did I hear a crash?
You're completely thrown
yeah,
off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never had the airbags go off. That kind of scares me a little bit.
All my accidents were pre-airbag days.
Yeah, me too.
My Mustang was destroyed by a car that rear-ended me. I mean, it was a loss. It was the gas tank ended up in the back seat. It was.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Steve's car got totaled a year and a half ago.
That was that
years?
Accident.
Oh, that was that one. Okay.
Yeah. I drove my car into a pond once.
Yeah,
wait,
that was for the show.
Yeah. We made you do
and
that.
And that wasn't your car.
It wasn't my car, but it didn't have any airbags either.
What was your safety harness when that happened?
I had a seatbelt and then I threw a rope out the window.
Yeah, that's how we used to do things on the show.
Oh my!
Our safety. Our safety was Casey just before went into the water. He threw a rope out the window, which was tied to a chain on the back so we could tow him out of the pond.
And he's here today.
It worked.
I heard you guys talking about the safety precautions the other day.
Oh, my God. Like, they were extensive, Kathy.
A rope out a window? What?
That's why these lawyers.
And now we can't do hatchet throwing at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah. The company that does mobile hatchet throwing.
It's like an organized, safe thing to do.
You know what? We used to drive cars into ponds with throwing a rope out the window being the safety.
Let's say we just bring our own hatchets down to the camp out and go for it.
I'm up for that.
Let's just do that. Hatchet fights in the parking lot.
All right, let's see. A spokesperson for the L.A. Police Department told people that Hunt was one of multiple people taken to the hospital following the incident and that police investigating the crash determined that no crime had occurred. She is currently in production on a limited series revival of Mad About You.
Oh, boy.
Great.
I hated that show.
I won't watch this one either. Okay. Hey, is Mabel going to be in it? Is that the baby's name?
I would imagine. It's a limited series. Listen, it was a very popular show.
It was huge.
You know,
I just hated it.
I didn't watch it when it was on. It was one of the ones that I went back later and watched, and I never got super into it like I did the other shows.
She was the reason I didn't get into it. I found her annoying.
Yeah.
I like her, though. She's been in movies that I've enjoyed, but her character in that show just annoyed the F out of me.
I liked him.
No, Paul Reiser?
Yeah.
I like him, too.
So it's airing exclusively on Spectrum. Do you guys know what channel that is?
That's an old cable.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I've recently heard it. What else? There's something else. Hold on. Let me look it up.
It's Preston, like you said, it's a limited series. It starts November 20th, but it airs exclusively on the Spectrum Network.
Nick is showing a little trailer or a video of them speaking. She looks great.
She does.
She looks really, really nice.
She was in a long-term relationship with Hank Azaria.
Oh, yeah.
Years and years.
Yeah.
TV, internet, voice. I don't know, but I've recently heard that there's something else on there that somebody told me to watch.
Is it a reboot of Just the 10 of Us with Coach Love?
That was good, too.
Jason Momoa really loves his wife. The 40-year-old Aquaman star sat down with Esquire for a cover story. Spent most of it essentially gushing about how awesome Lisa Bonet is.
He actually started to spank it, too, he was talking.
I'm sorry. I saw the sock. Oh.
He said she was literally my childhood crush. I mean, I didn't tell her that. I didn't let her know I was a stalker until after we had the kids. The pair has been together for 14 years. They share Lola and son Nokoa, in addition to Bonet's daughter Zoe Kravitz, whom she shares with Lenny Kravitz.
She just, you know her story, right? She just had scored a major role in the new Batman movie. She's playing Selina Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah. She's Catwoman.
Yep.
That's right. He says that their story makes him believe that anything is possible. He said, if somebody says that something isn't possible, I'm like, hey, listen here. I married Lisa Bonet. Anything is effing possible. Yeah, but you're Jason Momoa, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Knock it off.
Yeah,
you're
please.
Blessed with genetics.
You are stunningly, you're a specimen of a man.
Rip his ass out.
But he goes on to say, Mama is the boss. Everyone knows that. Joking about life at home with Bonet. In fact, he says that his kids don't confide their secrets to him because, quote, I'd tell Mom right away. I'm not going to get busted over your S, he says. So, Michael Douglas believed that his son Cameron Douglas was going to die during his battle with drug addiction.
That was an extended battle.
Yeah, there were moments, he said, when hope dwindled, and then it's just a train out of the station. He was telling People magazine, life became a series of crises. I thought I was going to lose him. The 40-year-old Cameron became addicted to cocaine and heroin as a teenager, served almost 8 years in prison for dealing drugs.
Jeez.
And he said, I hated the wreckage I saw in my life because of drugs, but I just couldn't stop. But now he's a father himself to 22-month-old Lua with girlfriend Vivian, and says that he wants to help others seek help. His memoir about his experience Long Way Home is coming out on October 22nd. Yeah, he was spiraling out of control.
I'd be curious to read that because he had a number of high-profile run-ins with the law.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was as far off the deep end as you could get.
Yeah, he went away.
He pulled it back.
Yep. Blake Lively shared her Amazon baby registry on Wednesday, and it contains a hodgepodge of eco-friendly must-haves, including diapers, before bedtime reading, and bathing essentials.
All right, a quick question. Is this shared on the suggestion that we, the public, buy some of these things for her?
I don't think so.
Or is it to show how eco-conscious she is, or that she's able to afford an Amazon account?
No, it's direct tie-in with a charity effort. It's Child Rescue Coalition. So
there we go. It makes sense then.
Amazon's a sponsor on it, and they get a high-profile celeb like Blake Lively to promote it.
So there's a program on Amazon called Amazon Smiles. And
yes, I love that.
And I support it. So every time I make a purchase, money from my purchase or other people who have kindly jumped in will go to my wife's charity, Max Fund. So, yeah, and you can pick any charity you want.
Yeah, you can pick whatever charity is signed up. The only thing is you have to go to, like, whatever it is, smile.amazon. Like, if you just go to your Amazon account, it's not linked.
Here's what you do. Bookmark that version, and so every time you go in, you can do it on your phone too.
Sorry, Preston, hold on real quick. The only thing is on my phone, I can't figure out where it is. Like, I just have the regular account. So sometimes, you know, when I'm just want to buy something immediately off of my phone, I'm not near a computer.
Well, we can set you up.
All right, so you have to
help
me.
It'll be very easy.
Okay. I hope we helped you too.
Yes. Perhaps you and Homer.
That was great for the listeners. So
I hope they talk about Amazon and how you can do Amazon Smiles.
Just remember that the next time you think I'm wasting your time.
I was about to say, you were channeling Casey at that point.
Hey, listen, it's for a charity.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just babbling about nothing.
Just like Blake Lively does. And if it's good enough for Blake Lively, then it's good enough for Kathy.
Good enough for me.
Blake shared, I understand how overwhelming it is to be a new parent. What they don't tell you is it never gets less overwhelming, but with each kid, I do learn more. Before I had my first, I was lucky enough to have the parents in my life who I trusted most to share their must-haves with me, and I hope to do the same with you with my baby registry picks. Good luck. You're going to need it.
Now go to hell.
She and Ryan Reynolds recently revealed that they welcomed their third child together over the summer.
There were things, though, that I forgot. Like, I remember the first time I put Jace in the bath, and I was like, I don't have anything for him to play with. You know, like, I forgot bath toys and soap and things like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, that's stuff by you guys, multiple kids, right?
Yeah, you learn as you go.
You just learn. Yep. And then you don't care, right? That's right, the better part.
By the time you get a third one, you just don't care.
Play with your penis.
You give them Tupperware to play with. Right. Dude, in the bath.
Play with your penis.
Here's a sock.
Come on, man.
Whatever's on the floor.
I had all three of them in the shower with me. Well, after my third one could, like, stand and walk and all that stuff.
Way to go, Rockstar.
No, dude, I'm telling you, man. Because when you have to bathe three kids, I know it sounds weird, but I'm not the only one.
They're your kids.
They're my kids.
I know. Yeah, of course.
I mean, you made it sound weird.
I mean, but, that's my job.
No, we used to do that. Yeah, you put them in the shower with you. It's easy to clean
I could literally bathe three of them in less than 5 minutes.
There's a commercial that's great where the woman's coming and handing kids to the husband in the shower. Yeah. Like, here you go. Here you go.
Yep. All right, anyhow, E! Has announced that Jennifer Aniston will be the second ever recipient of E!'s People's Choice Awards on Sunday, November 10th.
Who's the first recipient?
Melissa McCarthy.
Wow.
She accepted the trophy for the inaugural award. But they wrote, Jennifer Aniston is a tour de force.
She is a tour de force.
Who has portrayed some of the most iconic, unforgettable, and relatable characters of our time.
Like Rachel.
There's one.
Yeah. Right? Who else? Yeah. A leprechaun?
Iconic of all time.
There's Rachel.
There's Rachel, and that's it.
Yeah, there's Rachel.
And then the chick that she played in that movie that seemed a lot like Rachel from Friends.
Yeah.
And then that other one where she was like a slutty Rachel.
So Jen Neal, the general manager of E! News, said, for gracefully conquering comedy and drama on both the small and big screen, we honor Jennifer Aniston with the People's Icon of 2019.
If it happens to tie in with a promotional effort for her new show on Apple TV,
yep,
then so be it.
So be it.
What's her best movie?
Her best movie is Leprechaun, I think.
No, it's not.
No, I mean, she was in Horrible Bosses, right?
Yeah. She's great in Horrible Bosses. We're the Millers.
Along Came Polly.
Along Came Polly.
I loved Along Came Polly. It's probably my favorite of her movies, but I haven't seen a bunch of the other ones that she's done. What was the one? Cake? That was like a serious one she did. I didn't see that. Yeah.
There was a Netflix one that came out last year, Dumplin'. Did you guys see that one?
I couldn't.
She was a pageant mom.
Office Space. She was in Office Space.
That was good.
You're right. She worked at Tchotchke's.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
She loves kung fu.
Anyhow, was Paul Rudd on Friends?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He was somebody's boyfriend for a minute. Right?
Phoebe's, wasn't he?
He ended up marrying Phoebe.
All right. Despite starring on that show for 2 years, he admits that he hasn't seen Friends start to finish. And he hasn't seen all of the episodes that he appeared in. He made the confession during Radio 1's Breakfast Unpopular Opinion Show.
Paul Rudd, tell us, have you ever seen all of the episodes of Friends that you've been in? Do tell!
On Wednesday.
On the chat show, I'm a presenter. I say schedule and boot.
Okay.
So he's doing radio interviews, huh?
In Britain.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I mean, the hosts are all peppy like
that. They're all very peppy.
It's way different than here.
But he had revealed that he wasn't even sure how many episodes he had seen.
I saw him talk about his run on Friends one time, and he wasn't throwing any of the cast members under the bus, but he did say that they were a clique and he was not a part of it, that they went to work and he was not a regular member of the show. He was on the outside looking.
He was hired. A number of people said that, but you could see how they were such a collective,
right?
And they clearly did. They did everything together. They negotiated together. They did everything. And that was... That could seem a little impenetrable to someone from, you know, who's coming in as a guest star.
Well, but if he married a major star, I guess maybe the writers were like, oh, maybe he can break the inner circle here. And the inner circle is like, nah.
Suck it.
Go straight to hell.
Let's see. Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski are teaming up for Imaginary Friends, fantastical comedy that is in the process of being picked up by Paramount, according to the Hollywood Reporter. They beat out Lionsgate and Sony, among others. Krasinski will direct, produce, and star. Reynolds will co-star. The film is being described as a Dr. Doolittle-style story of a man who talks to people's imaginary friends after others have forgotten or discarded them.
This could be interesting or horrible.
When those friends become evil, it's up to Reynolds to save the world from harm.
Krasinski is... What is the status of A Quiet Place 2? Which he has been working on.
Yeah. They finished filming it. He posted something on Instagram, Steve, and I think maybe his wife did as well. And
that was good.
They wrapped up the shooting on it.
I loved it, and I'm glad they're doing a follow-up.
And from that, you got Bird Box.
Yeah, exactly.
The other there's
and
a...
I and speaking of him, I my wife and I just finished Jack Ryan over
what'd
the weekend.
Think?
I freaking love
awesome,
it.
Isn't it?
We loved it. We could not wait to watch it, and I'm kind of glad when this happens that I get late to the game and then another season's right around the corner.
Yeah, it is. So and he is so good in it.
He's great.
He really is as a smart badass.
Yeah.
Which is what he is.
Who is put in a situation that he normally would not. He's an unintended James Bond.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like he's got training, but he's not the super spy.
But when he pulls out that training, you're like, oh yeah, that's right.
It works.
Yeah.
He's proficient, but he's not like a
Superman,
or you know, silent assassin or anything like that.
Yep.
There's another movie that's coming out, or that's out on Netflix now. Do you guys know anything about it? Called I think it's called In the Tall Grass.
Yes, it's a horror movie. It's a Stephen King movie.
Preston, have you ever heard?
Patrick Wilson's in it.
Yeah.
So they pull off to the side of the street. This couple, and they hear calling from tall grass.
Yeah,
and they basically what happens? They go in to look for this, and they find other people who are in there looking for voices that they've heard. It's from a Stephen King, I think, and a family member, maybe Stephen King's son.
Hmm.
if he has a son.
Yeah, Billie Jean King.
I think Billie Jean King.
But his wife is a writer.
Yeah, so whatever the deal is, they wrote the story, and I was looking at the trailer as well, Casey. It looks very interesting.
And it's Stephen King, so that's why I thought maybe you had heard of it. It's a short story, kind of like The Body turned into Stand By Me.
Sure.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or The Sled turned into Citizen Kane.
Yeah, that too.
And Steve, A Quiet Place 2 comes out on March 20th of next year.
All right. Oh, man.
We can make it till then. All right, and then one last thing. Here's something else coming out. Mrs. Doubtfire is set to begin previews on Broadway on March 9th of 2020.
Hello! Wow. We just had that, man.
Beetlejuice's Rob McClure is the title role. Jerry Zaks is directing the play based on the 1993 Robin Williams hit film of the same name. Rob McClure from Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice on Broadway. Then.
Right,
okay. Yeah.
Right.
So. That's like the trend is turning movies into Broadway shows. Hey, Legally Blonde is big now.
If they're made well, I'm all right. You know, I haven't really seen any of them, but
you get a built-in audience that love the movie.
Yeah.
So I think actually Mrs. Doubtfire could be enough material for a Broadway show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello!
Let's do the clips. The Good Place follows four people in the afterlife as they try to determine what it means to be good. In this clip, William Jackson Harper explains the differences in his character for the show's final season. Here we go.
The core of who Chidi is stays the same. You know, he's still nervous. He still can't make a decision. But the pressure isn't on in the same way, like coming right into the world.
Shut the f*** up!
A new episode of The Good Place airs 9 p.m. on NBC. That's had several seasons.
Four, I believe. It's a funny show.
Nick Murphy loves that show.
It's a really funny show. And Ted Danson is exceptionally funny.
He's great.
Yeah.
Here's the next clip. 25 years after Clerks, the duo of Jay and Silent Bob embark on another cross-country journey in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. And here Jason Mewes speaks about reprising the role of Jay for another time.
I feel like if I gets any longer, we're going to do like Jay and Bob are in a nursing home. You know, watch all the hijinks and fun. So I was excited to do at least one more because it's been many years. People are always like, when's there going to be another movie? You have to do another movie.
Yeah!
Has he been in anything else?
Yes, he has. Non-Kevin Smith films, you're saying?
Yeah, he has.
Not many, but he's done other stuff.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I think he was in a horror movie. I'm not sure, Nick. Maybe you can check on this, Cold Feast. I might be wrong on that. But
he gets roles here and there.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of roles. I shouldn't minimize it.
Okay.
We're not talking dinner roll.
No. Like his IMDb is really filled with a lot of non-Kevin Smith stuff, just not a lot of high-profile non-Kevin Smith.
There's a dude who you figured was going to check out and pulled it back.
Yeah, he had a heroin addiction.
Yeah.
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot is in theaters now, by the way. All right, there you go. That's what we have for you in the entertainment report. We're going to take a break because we have a lot going on today. We have several people who are going to be on the program. One of them, an actor named John Capellos, who was Carl the janitor in The Breakfast Club. He's in 16 Candles. A lot of John Hughes stuff. And talk about being a lot of things, man. His credit list is massive.
I mean, he goes all the way up to The Shape of Water, the Oscar-winning Guillermo del Toro film.
Loads of movies and TV shows. He's one of the guests on the program. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. Stay with us.
MMR rocks Stone Temple Pilots, celebrating 25 years of Purple. Listen all this weekend to win a special 2-CD newly remastered version of the band's landmark mega album. For the Super STP fans, we've got the one-hour national radio special featuring STP's Robert DeLeo and Eric Kretz, hosted by our very own Pierre Robert. WMMR.com for broadcast times and all the details, including a shot for MMR VIPs to win a super deluxe vinyl edition of Purple, available from Rhino Records, Stone Temple Pilots, and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Wanted to do a couple of shout-outs and butt plugs. And Steve, you wanted to give some love on the air as well?
To Miguel from Viva Video. We had him in the show, and he had that show that's on. I hope it's still on. I watched the first episode of it where they did
They really only they filmed live. One episode.
Hope it goes because it was too. Really good. But anyway, it's over there in Ardmore. It's this video store we talked about that has all these viewing parties and so on and so forth. And he was great, and his crew is great. And the show that actually ran at midnight a couple of weekends ago was really engaging. But anyway, I was talking about this movie that I knew as Eating Italian has since been made and renamed Eat and Run. I couldn't find it. I was looking all over the place. He found it. No he way. Found it. It was a DVD copy from Europe that wouldn't play in American DVD players or Blu-ray players. And he took the time to dub a copy for me that would run here.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
So thank you, Miguel.
What a nice thing.
Very nice. Super nice guy. And he's going to kind of be our go-to movie crazy, obscure movie guy.
I love it. Excellent. Hey, a couple of butt plugs real quick for some charity events. Coming up this Sunday, both Nick McElwain and I will be at the Upper Gwynedd Township Park. It's the township building, but it's a park. The Laurel House 5K is taking place on Sunday, and it's nice and early. It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
It'll be cooler too, so you can run and not pass out from heat stroke.
Exactly. So if you'd like to get involved, it's not too late to do that. We have the information on PrestonandSteve.com. Just spoke at a luncheon yesterday for the media's role in reporting domestic violence with Laurel House. They do amazing work. So come and join us for that if you can.
What kind of time are you expecting to do, Nick?
Well, I have wheels, so my son's going to run. He loves doing it. We didn't get to go last year for whatever reason, but Ben did it 2 years ago, and we've done the Walk Mile in Her Shoes with them for many years. It's a great organization. I love supporting them.
Then there's another 5K that I'm going to be hosting, and it is for my son's marching band, the Souderton Area High School Big Red Band, and it's the third annual Big Red Band on the Run, 5K run, walk, and fun run. And that is Saturday, October 26th, and it will be at Indian Valley Middle School in lovely Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Race starts at 9 a.m. So information again on PrestonandSteve.com, and it raises money so that the band can get equipment and uniforms and go on trips and things like
that. All that stuff.
So, yep, wanted to mention that. And then, if you don't mind, I am way behind in shout-outs. Here's the deal with shout-outs is I do one or two on the air, and then I get an influx of them, and then I set them aside because we get busy, and then they stack up. So
give them a little taste. Some it's like a pusher.
Some I get to, and some I don't.
We never did the butt plug, though, so hang on a second.
Okay. Thank you.
Now it's certified.
Here's one. It says, hey, Preston, recently I tried out a nickname for my girlfriend I heard on your show while out in public. I called out, hey, slow down, roast beef. And her response was, what the F did you just call me? Well, it stopped me in my tracks. I stood frozen, not knowing what I did wrong, and I didn't realize that she was so insulted until she said, oh, whatever, Vienna sausage.
Ah.
I was wondering if we could get a juicy shard out to roast beef and Vienna sausage. So here you go. It's a short for you. That's from September, so sorry about that.
I'm behind on Stranger Things Season 3. I just started watching it over the weekend, and there's an episode where Steve calls Gaten Matarazzo
roast
beef. Because he's wearing
roast beef.
And I just watched that episode last night.
I got to believe they got that from us.
They must have.
For what reason
right?
would you call someone roast beef? And it happened when Casey had said, gotcha, broski. And I thought, I mean, like, who says broski anymore?
Right.
So my ears heard, did you just call me roast beef?
Mm-hmm.
And then it took on a life from there, you know?
We're just going to say we are responsible for that, even if we aren't.
Here's another one. Oh, my God, this one's just in time. Hey, Preston, my fiance Jeff listens to you every single day. And on Saturday the 19th, we finally get married after 5 years together. I'd like to give him a shout out and tell him I love him and can't wait to marry him, his fiance. That is from Jackie Her. So last name. Let me do another old one here real quick. Hey, Preston, met my husband, Michael, 2007, Westchester University, and I wanted to move out west. We ended up in Portland, Oregon. They tell the full story, but it's kind of lengthy here. On September 28th, we took the plunge and got married in Chad's Ford, PA. His dad was diagnosed with lung cancer, so we had to postpone our honeymoon. My father-in-law continues to improve with immunotherapy and is getting stronger each
Excellent.
Day.
That's great news.
I'm asking for a shard out or a butt plug in honor of our one-year wedding anniversary this Saturday. And I got this back in September, so sorry. Michael, you could have easily stayed in your comfort zone. Instead, you blindly followed me across the country, learning to enjoy hiking and backpacking because I do, and tolerated my crazy ass all these years. Thank you. I love you. Cannot wait to for our next adventure, New Zealand and Tahiti for our honeymoon. Ooh. Happy anniversary. Thank you. That is from Brittany. So here's your shark.
Come on.
There you go. All right.
Jinx, by the way. I got to do a shout out as well. I got this yesterday, so I'm a day late with this. But there's a huge fan of our show. Her name is Terry Bereshkiewicz or Bereshowitz, Boruzo, one of those names.
Good enough.
She's a teacher at Cardinal O'Hara High School, teaches English. And her husband, Stephen, wanted to wish her a happy 26th anniversary. There you go.
I wanted to share a personal story here. It's something I don't know if I've ever told you guys this before or not, but
is this a real revelation?
No. This is just I think there are other people do this, and I'll tell you why it's interesting. So I went to visit my dad in Kentucky. My dad, I have a stepmother. They've been married for over 20 years now. So when I go and stay at their house, it's always kind of interesting because there is one room in the house you don't go in. And the reason being is because her son, her oldest born, died when he was in his young 20s. Might have been 21, 22. Testicular cancer came on very quick. A couple of weeks after diagnosis, he was born.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was terrible.
He would have been your stepbrother.
Would have been my stepbrother.
Okay.
Exactly. And she obviously, like any woman would be, was completely heartbroken.
Devastated.
Just destroyed her. And still affects her horribly all these years later. This was, I think he died in 1991.
They say you never get over it.
Yeah. So much so that his bedroom has never been touched.
Oh, wow.
Since the day he died.
Not cleaned or anything?
Nothing.
Whoa.
Everything is exactly the same left as is, from what I understand. I've never been in there.
You've never even opened the door.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
To be honest. And
does she open the door?
I don't know.
She might.
I think so.
The purpose might be for her to go in and that moment in time. Maybe she does clean. I think you'd have to clean.
Dust or something. Yeah.
I don't know.
But still, so she keeps it as was the day he died.
I mean, and also, that's like in movies. You see that in movies where they leave the room.
I mean, to be honest, a lot of horror movies, you know. Yeah.
And also his car.
She still has it?
Yeah. It sits in the garage. It's an old Prelude.
What's the point of that? I can kind of see the room.
I don't know. I don't ask.
Yeah. So you've never talked to your dad about this?
Not really, other than at the time of year.
Can I borrow the Prelude?
that the time of year in the fall is very, she goes into a deep depression.
Because that's when he died?
Every year, yeah. I mean, like a month leading up to it.
Oh, that's so sad.
And then the day is just, it's, you know.
Awful.
Is it the birthday or the death day?
No, the death day.
Okay.
The death time. And probably the birthday would affect her as well, but I don't know when his birthday was. I did read something about people who grieve over a loss in that you can't let the date own you. The date, obviously, it's, you know, something horrible happened in your life, but it's just a date on the calendar.
It is just a date on the calendar.
You don't have to let it own you. Now, me telling her that would be it would be useless. Exactly. Right. But I got to tell you, man, the room thing, it kind of weirds me out a little bit. It doesn't weird me out about her at all, but you guys know me.
Oh, yes.
If I hear noises in the middle of the night and stuff, so I think
he's in there.
Like there's a spirit in the house.
Preston, come in and play.
Right.
Did you ever meet him?
No.
Didn't know him. Okay.
Yeah, he died years before they met. My dad and her met. So
someone's playing with my feet.
No, dude, don't touch the feet.
So I
was a professional
model.
Yes. Yeah,
I wonder though, Press, because of that particular situation when your father and her got together, like if, you know, moving out of that house was not even an option because of that.
I don't really know.
I've heard of this and, you know, I don't want to give out specifics because they live in the area, but there was somebody who had lost a son tragically, and I believe they were moving. Because there was somebody I knew was looking at the house to buy, and the son, and this was years and years later, the son's room had never been touched. He was younger than 21, so it was like more of like a boy's room than a young man's room or whatever. But still, I understand that.
I completely understand the devastation. I always, and you're right, Preston, you don't want to presume upon this woman, your stepmother, to say, why are you reacting that way? But you would, I don't think the son would ever want his mother to feel that kind of pain.
Probably.
That would be the last thing the son would want.
And I would think that some people are handle things in the opposite, that they need to get out. They need to be away. They can't handle this pain anymore. You know what I mean?
Everybody's different, yeah.
Everybody's different, yeah.
Some people are like, okay, well, I'm going to basically have a...
A shrine. Right.
And then I can close the door to the shrine, and I can go and sit in there. And like you were saying, Steve, like, you know, it's you know, be surrounded by a time, if you will.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what she does. I wonder if that's what it is. And she does go in there and spend time in there to kind of be with him or whatever. Does she have other kids?
Yes, two others.
She does. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't know about, I'm sorry, Casey, you don't know about the access to the room. If it's just, do they go in? You don't even know if she goes in.
I don't feel comfortable asking about that, so I haven't said anything.
You don't really know anything behind it, just because you're not going to ask the question.
I don't want to, number one, I don't want to send them anybody that I might ask in the family into a depression, you know, reliving it, although I know that wouldn't happen.
We never go in there.
right.
And there's a scene in the original Haunting, the Robert Wise movie, where they're talking to the woman who's the caretaker for this house. And the one woman, Julie Harris, says, if I need you during the night, do I call you? And she says, oh, we don't stay here at night. No one.
Really?
And so it's that kind of vibe. Yeah. So I understand on one level you're dealing with this emotional connection to this child, this horrific situation of losing a child. But it can help but create a somewhat unnerving.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the only door on the upper floor that's closed.
And when I walk by it,
I'm like, I wonder what it's like in there.
Preston.
Right.
Come in and meet me.
Yeah.
I mean, not...
You're a drummer and saint. I follow everything.
By the way, we're playing Friday night at the Broken Goblet in Ben Salem.
We took a death story and turned it into a plug.
Well, and you know what? I was just about to say something.
He did it. I know what our show does.
I gave the entree.
I'm there.
I teed it up.
I'm on board.
I was going to say something, and I wanted to, like, still respect your stepmother, but, like, clearly I don't even need to say that. But anyway, what I was going to say was, if I was in the house and they weren't home, I would definitely go in there.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. I would open it up. I'd have to see and check it out.
Come in, Kathy. I've been waiting for you.
But
I bet it wouldn't touch anything or sit on the bed or anything.
Hell activities.
But you know what, Steven? You'll get this. I'd be afraid that I would knock a little penguin off of the stand.
Oh, yeah. Break
it. In Misery, I disturbed
somebody. What happened? Yes. Yeah, yeah. So I told you, Preston, I was watching, there's a show on Netflix called Haunted. Mm-hmm. That is I told you, this is like one of those ghost shows, but the difference is that there are multiple parties who have, quote-unquote, seen the things that happen. It adds a little credibility or whatever to it. Long story short, I'm watching the show, and all the time I'm watching the show, I'm thinking, Preston could never watch this.
Right.
Because it has those sort of things and sealed-up rooms and doors like that. So I can understand it, but, man, that's...
Yeah.
In a way, that grieving, and it because in case you use the right word, it's like a shrine to the departed.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. So we got a text here. Somebody who's unfortunately their sister took her own life, but it says on her birthday, I have some troubles for sure. My therapist recommended trying to get closure, not keeping things around to dwell on, and spend a few days throughout doing something to remember her by. It's helped. From crippling emotional state to last year to a mild depression. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, I think, in fact, you can't tell. It's presumptuous to say to somebody, this is how you deal with your pain because you're not that person.
Right.
But I think anybody would want the person to move on and perhaps do something in honor of the memory of that person rather than dwell on it. And having a room that just sits there a moment in time almost forces you to dwell on it.
Yeah, but all right. So I think we're also sort of projecting this deep sadness, and it may not be that.
It might be a positive thing.
It may be a positive tribute thing. It may be. I don't know for sure.
But like, I don't know. He just talked about how she goes into a deeper depression.
It's bad. You can't help that. And a bedroom is not going to do that or not do that. Like, here's the deal. Steve, what day did your mother die?
I don't know the date.
Okay.
No, it was so long ago. It was in the summers in August.
Well, and see, you didn't hold on to that date.
No, I didn't.
But you certainly hold on to
me. I held on to the experience that all those little things that people hold on to my experience after my mother passed away was I felt her with me. And yeah. I remember feeling like she's always with me. And so that was a good thing. I didn't have that. I was sad, but I also learned to feel happy for her that she was free of the suffering that she was going through.
Yeah.
And so that to me, because that was a positive as far as I was concerned.
By the way, a texter says here that Kathy would break in and clean the room.
Yeah. I mean, I would just dust a little bit. I threw out
some things.
Poor stepmom. I cleaned that room for you.
The place came in to hold away the car.
Yeah, I got rid of that car.
Hasn't been vacuumed in years.
I think that your stepmother goes in there. I think that's got to be the reason that she's kept it.
Oh, absolutely. Is she building a robot in there?
I agree. What's that?
Building a robot?
I don't know.
I know I asked, but I can't remember the answer. Is that depression time, is that the birthday time or death day time?
Around the passing. From what I understand.
And I understand that you don't want to be invasive and say, hey, why don't you tell me about this thing that's obviously tough for you to handle?
I just know that I was sort of fortunate in the day that my dad died. He died the day before his birthday. So it's like I don't have, you know, two sad days, you know, like one in June and one in September, you know.
Right,
and I choose not to get really down about that, that time of year. But it's definitely wasn't a happy time.
I think getting rid of someone's possessions after they die can sometimes for some people feel as if they're
betraying them?
They're letting go of of what little they have left of them in a physical sense, you know what
I
mean?
No, I agree. And
because, when somebody dies, they've got stuff. They have things, and things have to be done with that stuff. You either hang on to it, you throw it out, you pass it on to people, you sell it, you got to do things with them.
So,
Could
you see yourself ever? I mean, keeping a room. If someone needs to do that, they do that.
But a child, yes, I probably.
Yeah, I was about to say the exact same thing. With a child, it's got to be different. And when it's a parent, it's one thing. When it's your own kid, it's something completely different. And obviously, I know this is fiction, but the scenes in Minority Report where Tom Cruise is mourning the loss of his son, and he has those videos where he replays them. I can see that. Like holding on to something that is near and dear to you.
That's a video.
Replaying it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To keep a room. I'm not being critical of it. To me, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a lot to wrap your mind around.
But there are people. I mean, we have people on the phone line, people texting in. A friend of mine said that her grandmother kept her uncle's room the same from 1993 until 2009 when she died. And then they, I guess, cleaned out the house or whatever. But it had stayed exactly the same from the time he died. Yeah.
I have an anonymous caller on the line. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
So I'm calling. I lost my youngest brother. It's been going on 15 years ago now to suicide.
Oh.
And we don't have a relationship with my family anymore. But my parents have kept his bedroom. His clothes are still in his drawer. Everything is the way that he left it.
Yeah.
And she believes that he's still there. Actually.
Okay.
She visits psychic mediums. She's been on TV a few times.
No kidding.
It's kind of crazy. And I've been told that she actually sprinkles salt around the perimeter of her property to keep his spirit in the house and keep the bad ones out.
Okay.
So let me ask you, do you feel, I mean, because that's out of,
you've seen that in movies.
Supernatural, salt stops the deal. Do you feel that she benefits from this? Do you feel that she's in a better place because she is doing this? Or do you think she'd be better if she sort of let it go a little bit?
I mean, it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
At some point you have to, it's hard for everyone. It was my brother. You don't get over that.
Sure.
But to hold on to it to that degree And it even, like, it's just creepy. And, like, when we still would go there, and if my kids had to spend the night at, you know, Grandma's house, they would offer for my kids to sleep in that bedroom on that bed.
No, and, no. Creepy's the word. And I understand what you're saying. You care about this person. You lost your brother. You can't help but argue. You can't argue the point that for people who are not on the periphery, that it is creepy, you know, and
yeah, you don't want to begrudge them for mourning, right?
No, let them mourn how they want to mourn,
right? But at some point, I guess it's healthy to let it go.
I think so.
You know, and that's, we're all going to die, and we all have to deal with death at one point or another in our lives. So the way in which you deal with death is important.
So I think and to other people, I would say, when someone channels that mourning into a positive, whether they do something, you know, for a suicide outreach or something like that, that's a
fundraiser in their name.
A way to honor or remember that person is more productive than just locking time.
Yeah. But it's...
Well, and it's not even just that all of this stuff is in there. There's been, like, there was things added to the room. Like, every photo that she could find is in a frame and in there. So, like, all of his things are there, but then when you go in there, it's like he's staring at you, you know?
That's wild. Yeah, all right, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Listen, it can, you know, traumatic things like that can make you not yourself anymore.
Right? Yes! Oh, it's true.
It can absolutely happen, especially when you're talking about a child.
I wonder if there's, you know, someone who is a psychologist or what the angle on that would be of constantly sort of bombarding yourself with this.
Yeah, what the best option is for healing, or trying to, at least.
Let me go to Angela, who lost her son 3 years ago. Sorry, it is such a heavy topic, but I thought it was unique. So, Angela, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so you lost your son 3 years ago, which is horrible.
Yeah.
And what's your take on this conversation?
The only way I feel that you could get through with this is to have a positive outcome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be a positive outcome, but you always, I'm sorry. It's just hard because you'll never get over it, but for you to heal, which I got through my therapy, for you to heal is to, like what we do is we raise toys and money for Toys for Tots.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's a great way to honor
and keep the memory alive.
Yeah,
so it's the only way that you'll get through this, because, like, a lot of people say, oh, I know what you're going through. Like, I lost my husband, or I lost my my wife. But
it's
there's
not the same.
No way to understand unless you do actually lose a child, because a child you cannot replace. And the only way to keep them alive is actually to do something positive for them.
Angela, so the loss of you, but do the loss of your son, many other children are going to benefiting in memory and in honor of that loss. And so to me, that seems, that's just the greatest honor you could pay to your son to do that. So
we do it every year, and actually his death anniversary is November 21st.
Mm. Well, you're doing, listen, it's got, I can't even wrap my mind around what you're going through, but it's amazing that you do it.
You know, I work very, very closely with the Headstrong Foundation, mm-hmm. and, you know, that foundation was started as a result of the death of my friend's son. And he basically started it, and they carried this torch, and it will never bring him back. However, through that foundation, they have helped. I don't even know. Like, they've raised millions of dollars and helped countless people.
Yeah.
You know, going through similar stuff, you know, families stricken with cancer. I had a friend who lost a child just not that long ago, and I felt helpless because I don't know that. And he was kind of letting it all out on Facebook, and I was like, all right, do I get involved? Do I not get involved? And eventually I said, hey, do you want to talk to Cheryl from Headstrong Foundation? Because, you know, because I can't help you. I don't know what you're going through. And so I did. I connected them. And so what that last lady just said was, you know, if you can do something positive to, you know, sort of carry it on rather than keeping a shrine. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep a shrine either.
Right. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But if you could maybe do something.
Don't dwell on just that.
Yeah.
But
turn it into a positive.
Yeah, turn it into a positive.
I'm going to wrap this up.
We're going to brighten it up.
No, you know what? I'm sorry about that. I did not know we were going to have. And listen,
what the hell were you thinking?
I feel your pain, but I did not know we would have sobbing people on the air this morning.
And what a superficial way to promote Saint.
All you're doing is going to work. And I have a band. We work really hard. And, you know.
Hey,
we got a
okay.
gig coming up on Friday night at the Broken Goblet.
I mean, sure, you guys rock and,
you know,
you just want to rock it out.
Broken Goblet. Did you sneak into that room and break a goblet by any chance? And then kind of like in Misery, what you were talking about?
No, we didn't do that.
You didn't do that?
No.
Way to bring it down, Case. Saint at the Broken Goblet Friday.
Look over there.
Look over there.
Wow,
they're just going with it, but
goblet?
You know, I don't know.
No, I'll ask him about the origin of the name of that club when I get there. But it's on Friday. It's in Bensalem.
I'll tell you, but it's painful to talk about. A man came into my shrine room and broke a goblet that belonged to my son, who liked to collect goblets. But we're going to enjoy having you here with the $1.50 beer special.
Well, I don't know about that.
And the original show is back.
It is.
You're welcome.
Wow. Well, we got deep, and but listen, the truth of the matter is that it is an interesting thing, and from my angle, it's you know, if you want ghosts in your house, that's the way to do
it. Listen, I honestly, while sleeping there, so I had the fan on, and what I didn't know, you know, ceiling fan, is that from time to time, it's an older house, and the fan, I guess, had some issues, and it would kind of clunk, make a little noise, and I would wake up like that.
Yeah.
And
be like,
what was that?
Who is that?
Oh,
it's
man.
Nothing, Preston.
Now I got to get back to
Go
bed.
Go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get a deal on a prelude eventually, you know?
Jesus. But anyhow.
Preston, where is Saint playing this weekend?
The Broken Goblet.
Oh.
Is that because somebody broke a goblet in a shrine room?
It must be. It must be. But we'll be there starting at 8:30. Let's take a break. How about we do that?
Yeah.
And you know what? I actually have something to give away. Where are the tickets you had, Casey?
Where they at?
Right in front of your freaking face.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sorry, I'm a little upset.
About the goblet
story. That
it didn't get any traction.
Yeah. That we didn't get any laughs out
that
of
that? That was a home run and nobody bit.
Everybody else gets pity laughs in this room. I get none. Thanks for nothing.
It was there. We were just trying to go along.
No.
All right, so I have tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco.
We'll put a little extra in the pity laugh bank for you.
Caller number 20, you will get tickets to go and see Sebastian June 21st at the Borgata Hotel and Spa. It's a 5
p.m. guy who had a goblin.
It's a 5 p.m. show. And tickets are on sale now at the Borgata.com for all 12 shows in June of 2020. Wow, he's doing 12 shows in 2020?
Jesus.
Man, all right. So call 2215263 WMMR, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll take a break, come back in a second. Members of the Philadelphia Union will be here. In fact, the captain of the team will be here, the head of the playoffs.
Well, what do you know?
First time they've had a playoff game in Chester since 2011. Nice. And I have the bizarre file on the way, too. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey.
You know the time has come, so don't mess me when I'm gone.
Shine Down.
My monsters are real.
Ghost.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're on a tight ship around here. That's what we do. Hey, before we get to the bizarre file, we're going to have these two gentlemen on our program, and they have to get off to practice, so we're going to do this and then get into the B file. But the union opens playoffs Sunday at home against New York. First time that we've had playoffs at the stadium in Chester since 2011. So this is exciting.
It is exciting.
And we are happy to welcome two gentlemen to the program. Please welcome Aurelian Collin and Alejandro Bedoya. Yeah. Gentlemen, congratulations.
Thank you.
Going to the playoffs. That's got to feel great.
Yeah. Like you just said, first time since 2011.
That's awesome, man. Well, listen, so what are you doing in preparation for this? You've had a great season so far.
And getting ready for this weekend, do you work a little bit harder or pull back a little bit so that everybody is you know, physically ready to go? Because I know it can be different in different sports.
Well, personally, I've had to pull back a little bit because I got picked up an injury. So
what happened?
Just a quad strain.
Okay.
Oh, the worst.
Oh,
yeah. Well, that what's worse? It could have been a groin thing. And then,
but quads are bad, though. I mean, it feels like a nuisance.
Annoying.
And it's always there, sort of. It impedes everything you do.
Right. Yeah. But I think you don't really change much, you know? I think the focus changes a bit. You're more in tune, you know, playoffs. This is like win or go home, you know, it's single elimination. Yeah. So it's a little bit different than a regular season game. But other than that, you know, it's just about, you know, it's a playoffs. And the intensity goes up, so you try to match the intensity from the opening whistle, and that's it. Then you play your game that you've been playing all year.
All right, rules-wise, obviously during the season, things can end in a tie, but in the playoffs they can't. So how does it work when you get to, like, a tie at the end of regulation? You do one overtime period. At what point does it go to penalty kicks?
Yeah, you do two 15-minute halves, I believe.
Okay.
So I think that's right.
You need to know. Well, so listen.
And then you go to penalties after that.
Someone will tell you when you're out on the field.
No, you need to know these things because at one point our Philadelphia Eagles were, you know, our football team here in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Donovan McNabb didn't know the rules of – he didn't know that a football game could end in a tie. And so he played the game differently. So I guess
– Really?
Yes.
I didn't hear about that.
It happens. That. Mm-hmm. Listen, Bimbo, obviously you guys are familiar. Bimbo, they make my favorite little chocolate chip cookie. So remember. Remember, the victory for the team is a victory for my favorite chocolate chip cookie. So I just want you to carry that'll incite you to onto a championship.
You pronounced that correctly, by the way.
Yes, Beemble. Absolutely. Yes.
Listen, Aurelian, does being a defender, does that lend to being a great dancer as well?
That's a loaded question.
We hear you're a dancer.
Yeah, I like dancing. Yes.
Okay.
What kind of dance?
So Latin music. So I got married to Venezuelan woman, so I had to learn how to salsa.
Kathy salsas.
Look at Alejandro's burying his face over here. Well, really, is answering this question.
Is there a basic salsa step you can do?
Basic, yes, there's the basic. Yes.
Would you like to dance with Kathy?
Kathy's a salsa dancer.
Do you have a second?
Prove it to her.
Kathy's very good, you know? All right.
Oh, this is happening. This is happening.
All right,
here we go. All right, Kathy.
I hope this is on video.
Oh, yes, it is. There we go.
Yes. Okay.
Wow, that's... Yes! They're making turns.
They're doing the whole deal.
That's impressive.
And that's a cappella, whatever the equivalent is.
You did a little spin. There's no music. And, wow.
Hits right. Don't lie.
There you go. Very nice. Yeah.
Pretty sure he got her pregnant.
Yeah.
Dennis doesn't do that, does he?
Oh, hell no.
It's a sexy dance, right? Is that how the seduction, the initial seduction took place? It's a romantic, sexy dance. Is. Yes. I know the Lambada is the forbidden dance, so legally you can't do that.
Do you go out salsa dancing?
Yes, sometimes. More in New York, but yeah, here, yes. Lucha Cartel. I went a couple of times and...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so your wife is,
Venezuelan.
So she grew up dancing.
Yes. They have, most of the Latinos, they grew up like listening to the grandma or mother with the music. Me is different. In Paris, there are no...
They
music.
Listen to Preston and Esteban. Preston. That's their show, their favorite show.
You guys probably aren't used to this kind of interview, are you?
No. We won't X and O you to death.
No, we don't do that.
We're just excited that you're going to...
I'm here for it.
Yeah, to play and win.
Aurelian, speaking of New York, you played with them last season, correct?
No, three seasons.
Three seasons ago, okay.
The last three seasons.
Oh, the last three seasons. All right, so now you're going up against them in the playoffs. Now, you have made your way around the league, so playing against former teams is not a big surprise to you, but... You have friends on the team or people that you're still tight with?
Yes.
How does that play out when you're playing against somebody who you want to beat, yet you're friends with?
Yeah, on the field, there's no friends.
They're all enemies.
Yes, and before and after, yes, we're friends. But if you have to, you know, especially playoffs, you have to be 100% into it, and so there's no friends.
Now, that gives you also insight in which cars in the parking lot to key, because you know what they drive, right? It's all part of the deal. No, I mean, I see you got to face off. You got to get that killer instinct, right?
Yes.
Is there a lot of time? I mean, the game moves fast. Is there a lot of time? Is there trash talking that takes place out on the field? You know, you guys go at each other and say things.
You guys are always chirping, aren't you?
Yeah. For sure. There's always trash talking. At least I like to do it. Okay. It motivates me. You know, you feed off that energy. You know, back and forth.
Alejandro, have you tangibly thrown someone off their game by a dig, a verbal dig? Have you seen that happen? Have you been able to pull that off?
Yeah, I think I have.
Yeah.
I've definitely gotten someone's head, you know.
Yeah.
Live there rent-free, you know.
It's part of the deal, is it not?
Yeah, it's part of the deal. You know, you trash talk a whole game, and for somebody, you know, that when you know you got in their head when, you know, off a corner kick on the other side, 10 minutes later, they're going right back at you, saying something back, you know.
And, right,
you know,
right.
That's just the thing about it, you know.
Time has lapsed.
What's the best insult you've heard out there on the field? Anything come to mind?
That I can stand you can say.
You can paraphrase if you need to.
Oh, my God.
You know, if it's
best insult
about sucking something or I don't know what, but, you know.
Yeah, all those good stuff, you know. I don't even know. Some will say stuff about, like, your family or something. They'll do some research beforehand.
Yeah.
Something.
Really? Honestly.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
If you're going to do that, and you – because, listen, it's legal. You're just – and it's – you're not – you know, you're not – it's not a violation. It happens all the time. It happens in every sport where there's somebody will throw a little dig in, and it's I assume it's expected, right?
Oh, yeah. Or you'll get, like, these sly remarks. Like, I played in Europe for almost 10 years, and like being American, like, is a bad. They'll shoot something. They'll do something about like American thing, you know, like anti-American.
Yeah. So. What's playing in Europe like versus playing in the States?
It's different, you know. I think in Europe you have the best leagues, the best players playing, their best teams. So and they live, breathe soccer, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like here, you know, you have the two major sports and kind of like basketball or football. That's what soccer is like over there.
You've got to feel though that at least over the past couple of years, the trajectory of soccer has been on a pretty steady rise. I mean, people are more tied in with your team, with the team's success. Comes more interest, and then obviously what the women are doing, raising the profile of soccer.
Yeah,
you're seeing tangible results of that, are you not?
The sport has grown a lot, tremendously.
Winning always helps. You know,
it does.
When you go to a union game, it's always a great stadium. It's always a great environment to go see a soccer match, right? But when the team is playing well, it's a natural, but it's so much more fun to be down there. I went to one game this season, and it's an awesome environment. Mm. But when that awesome environment is also conducive to a winning team, it's all much better.
Well, that's what I like about Philly, you know. When you're winning, they'll let you know, but when you're losing, they'll let you know too.
do you guys get pissed off when, I mean, listen, the game is naturally one that has 10, you don't have 54 to 38. You don't have, you know, the scores are traditionally a bit
low. Well, if every goal counted for 6-7 points,
right.
Yeah,
but ultimately, it's in that case, what you do is if it's a low scoring game or if it's nothing, or, you know, does that piss you off as well? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, what the fans are there to see, and you're playing to the fans a little bit as well. You want to win, but that as well. You know, what's your biggest pissing off factor in the game that you play? What drives you the craziest when you're out there besides losing?
Losing sucks, but in soccer, there's, you know, like in other sports too, there's all these different tactical approaches to the game, you know?
So yeah.
I would say like our style of play is kind of, we try to keep it entertaining. We move the ball. We try to play
and it does move. Soccer. I think but, if people were to go out and they go, and it happens all the time, you go actually see the game in person. And then you can have a perspective when you watch it on TV about how fast it is moving.
Oh, yeah. If you watch it live, it's a lot faster.
Yeah,
it's almost like hockey, you know, live hockey is a lot quicker.
And I don't think a lot of people appreciate that until they're on the field, they're seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, we're running around for 90 minutes. We don't have stoppages every 30 seconds or so. So,
all right. So what do you get really, really pissed off when somebody that you're playing against takes a dive and then you guys get caught? Because I'm sure you do it too. Like if you oversell something, you're trying to get them to either maybe get a yellow card or, you know, PK or you know, something along those lines. So you're probably just as guilty, right?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people dive when Colin's defending them because he comes at you hard. So
really?
Want to kind of get out of the way.
Do you guys get a kick out of that? Like on YouTube, you see like, you know, like the worst dives, you know, people.
It's funny sometimes, but talking about trash talking, that's the best time to start trash talking. When you see somebody dive, then you can call whatever. Like, get up, you little.
Yeah.
When they start acting soft, then you know you can get at them. So
right. Yeah.
Well, it makes total sense. But listen, we want to congratulate you guys and wish you the best. So Sunday at 3 p.m. First playoff game in Chester since 2011, and they're taking on New York. What's your, before we let you go, how do you feel about New York and your chances against them? What do you want to say?
I think that, well, we played them twice this year, and we know perfectly the way they play. And I think if we're on a good day, we won, because they haven't been good, and we've been good. And,
nice.
And Red Bulls is always, like, you know, kind of they'll be here, and I hope everybody is going to come to the stadium, be sold out like a lot of games this year, and us, we're going to make our part. You know, it's all in America, it's all about playoff, all about this game, whatever the season you did. So now we have to be focused on the killing instinct you were talking
about. The killing instinct.
That's what we need.
Sauce all over their faces.
Yeah.
You know, what's great about professional athletes, and this is just part and parcel of being that way, is instead of saying, I think we're going to kick their ass.
Yeah.
Which you know they're thinking that for sure, but you can't really say that.
Yeah, well, we're going to give them some more bulletin material, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. We're ready.
All right. Good. Yeah, I believe it. Excellent. Well, good luck to you guys. Congratulations. Go get it. All right. Let's hear it for them.
Yeah.
Alejandro and Aurelian from your Philadelphia Union. They got to go. They got to go.
They got
to
practice.
So we are going to do the Bizarre File practice.
Practice?
Talking about it. All right. Case, I need the Bizarre File intro, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's right.
That would be wonderful. And then we can get into the stories of which I have. What's the proper word?
Accrued?
Accrued or.
Collected?
That's another one, but that's not the one I was trying to think of. I'm distracted, and I can't
assimilated?
Remember. No, not assimilated.
Coalesced?
Procured.
Procured?
Or collated.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
I've spent enough time. That's the amazing. Intro is ready. Here we go.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
See, with the pros, you never see the strings.
Yeah, no, Jackie Bamban's going to let me know which of those words he likes.
All right. Robbins Diamonds is our sponsor in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. This is wild video. I am certain you will see it if you watch the news today. Utah Highway Patrol officer is being hailed as a hero after he risked his life to pull a man off a train, off of train tracks moments before a train barreled through the area.
Wow. I mean, this, Preston, you said it. It's right out of a movie.
Yes.
It's right out of The Fugitive.
Yeah, right before the train hits. Dashboard camera footage shows the officer bolting out of his vehicle and running into the path of the oncoming train to rescue an unconscious driver from a vehicle that had crashed on the tracks. You can hear him on the video. This is a trooper, Ruben Correa, saying, "We got to get out of here. We've got a train coming. We got a train coming." He repeats it three times. Just before the train collided with the vehicle, Correa pulls the driver into the grass surrounding the tracks. No one was injured in the crash. The vehicle was completely destroyed. I mean, a split second before this train hits, he gets the guy out. Mm. He said, "I looked to my left. I was able to observe the train was coming pretty fast, anywhere between 50 and 80 miles an hour. At that point, I actually wasn't really thinking. I was just doing my job, and the main concern was getting him out. Vehicle had veered off the freeway, crashed through a fence, and came to a stop on the train tracks after the driver suffered a medical condition. Correa had been handling a traffic stop nearby when he responded to a call of a car on the tracks. He said, before I knew it, the train hit in the vehicle, and we were able to make it out alive. He said he didn't feel the weight of the situation until he watched the train launch the SUV from the tracks. He said, that's when I realized, oh, wow. That was a lot closer than I would have liked.
It was incredibly close.
He's lucky he was able to get the seatbelt undone and get that person out of there because they wouldn't have made it.
And he basically throws him right onto an alligator. No.
Police say a man in northern India digging a grave for his daughter. We were just talking about losing a child.
Yeah.
On Thursday evening and found a baby buried alive in a nearby pot.
Whoa!
Yeah. Hitesh Kumar Saroy had taken his daughter to be buried near a cremation ground after his wife gave birth to a stillborn child. As an employee began digging a grave for her, they were shocked to hear crying coming from an earthen pot that his shovel hit. He said, when we noticed a newborn girl inside, he immediately rescued her and dialed for help. Police said, we are now trying to find the parents of the baby. We will take strict action against those who have buried the infant alive. At one point, he said, I thought that my daughter had come back to life, but the voice was actually coming from the pot. He fed her milk through a cloth before calling an ambulance. The baby was born prematurely at 2.4 pounds, and is being treated for lung infection. Doctors added that the baby, who is on oxygen, may have survived so long because prematurely born children don't need as much oxygen.
Wow.
That's astonishing.
Isn't it? Mm. Police officials have launched an investigation in the incident, and they believe that it may be attempted female infanticide. Female infanticide is a widespread problem in India due to parents' preferences for sons for financial reasons. Wow.
It's horrifying.
Yep. Medical experts have raised the alarm following reports increasing numbers of women are using toothpaste to tighten up their private area.
Dr. My labia is minty fresh.
Dr. Oluwole Yusuf issued a plea to women via the news agency of Nigeria late last week. And comments that were soon backed by specialists across the world. She said toothpaste is caustic and too abrasive for a sensitive body part, and using such on it can destroy the organisms meant to protect the vagina from possible infections. When it can no longer protect itself, the body is prone to infections, which can later destroy the tubes and block the chances of getting pregnant.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. How many people have reported gingivitis with their vaginas?
Not a one.
There you go. So there is a plus side.
His concern was echoed by British specialist Vanessa McKay, consultant gynecologist and spokesperson for the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She said it's a myth that toothpaste will tighten the vagina.
I've always heard that hemorrhoid ointment is a tightening agent.
It is.
So that, to me, would seem... listen, not that I'm condoning the use of hemorrhoid ointment on your vagina.
It would be a little more appropriate, certainly in the same vicinity
region,
of the body.
Same zip code.
Yeah.
Listen, it's like anti-aging creams. Like, if it actually worked, it would be known.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting the toothpaste there would not only be uncomfortable, the doctor said, but also cause serious damage and disrupt the natural flora of the vagina, leading to...
And the fauna? The animals?
Potential for infections like bacterial vaginosis and thrush.
What do they say about putting eyeliner on your lips?
And many toothpaste brands... Yeah, Kathy's
that was eyeshadow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Many toothpaste brands also contain small particles that could cause abrasions, so you don't want that. All right, and then one last story. Let's see. A woman was left stunned after a stroll on the beach when she found a shell that looks just like Osama bin Laden.
Oh, my God.
Deborah Oliver found the distinctive-looking shell.
He's
on,
back.
Winchelsea Beach. The 60-year-old was drawn to the curious-looking find as she went for a walk while celebrating her 42nd wedding anniversary with her husband, Martin.
And when she held the shell up to her ear...
Deborah realized the shell, thought to be from an oyster, bore an uncanny resemblance to the Al-Qaeda terrorist and then fell apart laughing and kept it as a little memento. Deborah said, it's not all that often you find a seashell that looks like anyone at all, so finding Osama bin Laden was amazing.
It was amazing.
She said, when I looked at it properly up close, I thought it looked like Jesus. And I then saw a turban on the top and realized who was staring up at me in the palm of my hand, Osama bin Laden.
No, you idiot. That's not Jesus. That's Osama bin Laden. Can't you see the turban?
Others thought the seashell resembled ex-Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini. So,
well, they've seen a lot of things in that shell.
Mm-hmm. Your interpretation. There you go.
Your brain has the shell on it. That's what I have in the bizarre file this morning.
All right, let's take a break. Why don't we? We're going to come back in a moment. We will have a gentleman who is the senior producer of Conan O'Brien's show.
How the hell did that happen?
We'll find out from Marissa because she met him yesterday. Yeah. So we'll return in just a moment. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we welcome our guest, Marissa, how did you encounter our guest and have him come here this morning?
I like meeting strangers on the street. You know,
yes.
Giving people directions.
I mean, that's the edict of your pimp, so you have to do that. No, so where did you meet him?
No, there's this really cool event happening throughout the city. It's been going on a couple days. Today's the last day. It's called BPHL Innovation Festival, and it's going on between the Independence Blue Cross Building and the Fitler Club and all over the place. There's a lot of people coming into town and doing panels and Q&As, and I was lucky enough to be asked to host a Q&A with our guest right here, Aaron Blaert. And I guess your credentials are from the Conan Show and a lot of gaming things that are going on.
What was the panel?
I forget what it was called. That's why I was asking. Something about innovation.
You don't remember the name of your own panel that you hosted?
No. It was yesterday.
This is, by the way, this is Aaron Blaert.
Hey, buddy. I'll clap for myself. I'm not about show. That.
You should. Innovating late night. Thank
there
you.
There we go.
You're welcome.
Kathy's on it. She knows what's
Aaron
and
is
she
the...
has a and she has a laptop, by the way.
Aaron is the senior producer of Conan.
Yeah,
show.
Right. Senior producer of New Media, Team Coco, which is a title that doesn't really mean anything, but it sounds cool, doesn't
listen,
it?
Listen, titles are very important when you get into it. Yeah, they sort of give you, it's what you get in lieu of a raise.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
That
right,
is correct.
That's usually the way it goes.
Absolutely. And yeah, it was a great panel. You did a great job.
Oh,
nice
thank
work.
You.
For not
thank
knowing
you.
What I was about.
Nice
she rocked it, right?
That's right.
Marissa does a good job. But
it's
I was
like, yeah, it was the equivalent of herding cats, and she did a good job.
No,
my
was...
personality is like a bunch of cats.
Well, you impressed me. You had so many great stories to share, and of course, a lot of innovation and inspiration to share with the audience. So I called these guys immediately, and I was like, we got to have him by tomorrow, because you guys are going to love having a conversation with him.
Well, we're massive Conan fans, first off, and have been for forever, and the people that we've had through who have worked, actually our former intern, Jake Matera was a Conan.
Oh my
intern,
God, right? Jake! That's
yeah.
right.
So there's a connection in a couple of different ways. But so the gist of it though seems very positive. What you were talking about and how to innovate in your own life and how to shear away the negative aspects. And,
For sure. I think one thing that's so great and that I feel so lucky and grateful for is, you know, Conan is a great guy, but B, he's curious and he loves to just maybe by virtue of not being able to sit still, try new things. And, you know, the mantra around the office is he's always like, let's try it. I don't know.
Well, you know what impressed me is after the whole Tonight Show debacle, which I thought was a ridiculous exercise in BS. Listen, though, sometimes you let life happen and things will end up where they need to be anyway. And I think he's probably in a happier place than he ever could have assumed that he would be at. But
I don't think without that we would be able to do these travel shows, this
right.
podcast,
which is what suits him tremendously. Yeah. But so I remember the tour movie that came out after the deal, and it was very candid, and he was very honest, and it made him self-evaluate like crazy, and admitted to being in a dark place, and came out of it. So. Did you take that example and are you a half full glass guy, or did you have to train yourself to become one?
Ooh, I think the glass is too big, right, guys?
The glass. There you go.
No, I think that, right. I think, again, one thing that I've always admired about Conan is his ability to constantly push forward and push himself into new areas. I mean, you know, this is a guy who's been famous forever and he's a comedy icon, and he doesn't need to do he doesn't need to start a podcast.
No.
But he did, and it's great.
Yeah.
You know,
he got out of his comfort zone initially.
Right.
I remember when the announcement was made, years ago for the replacement to Letterman, and everyone goes, this writer for The Simpsons is going to be that. Is going to be this. So time and time again, he stepped outside the comfort zone. You recommend that, yes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are we doing here in life if not to just, you know, have fun and make stuff and explore? I mean, life is great and it's fun. And that's what's, and again, like, you know, even through these Conan Without Borders travel shows, I was just in Greenland like a month ago.
That's so cool.
And it's, oh man, it's great. And we were, Nick and I were talking about actually out in the hall about traveling. And I think people forget,
you know, we live in this world where you're looking on social media and you're looking at everybody else's amazing life. And, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. And it makes people kind of feel miserable. But people, I think, many times don't realize that they can get on a plane or get in the car or just get out of their house and walk around and explore. And they can go to places and they can do things. And it's just a matter of doing it.
It's a big world. There's a lot to see. When Marissa brought up the possibility of having you on our show today last night, I got really excited.
You were like, no, immediately.
Yeah, I was like, please not have this.
I, Aaron,
you know, did a deep dive on your Twitter, and I realized what a fan of you I am, and the work that you do with Conan. You really have been to some amazing places. You've been to places that anybody can get to. You've been places like Ghana, where it might be a little more difficult to get to. For you, what was the coolest experience? Is there one that stands out above the rest?
Ooh, of all of our travel shows? Yeah. I mean, I would say, great question. Hard question for this early, guys. But I would say, overall, just meeting people. And I think the realization that, oh, this is such a cheesy answer. Are you ready? I think the best part about these travel shows and going all over the world is meeting all the people and realizing that we're kind of all the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter where we go. Everyone still laughs at the same things, and everyone is, you know, by and large, kind. And
there's a general commonality. There are certainly other aspects, but I mean, it is cool when you go to other countries and you travel. You know, now you've been to more far flung places where you're think, okay, maybe here's where I encounter that that break with what I'm comfortable with. But even still, it's funny when you hear. When you hear stories, the classic stories like, you know, Chuck Norris, you know, encounters some remote Amazonian tribe and they know Walker, Texas Ranger.
Sure.
These things are weird, but they do happen.
They do happen, yeah. And the world has become obviously much smaller with the internet and all these things. But yeah, it's great. The world's a big, beautiful place. Love life and it'll love you back. You know?
Conan will take something on the news and make a positive out of it. I mean, you know, there was a lot of interesting blowback against Mexico and against Greenland, and they were in the news for specific reasons. But then it ends up being a travel experience for the viewer, for you guys, while you're there. And you realize, yes, there is much more that unites us than divides us. And you go to these places and point out the people, the what these places have to offer up, and it makes you want to go.
And I hope it inspires people to really get out there and see things for themselves. I mean, that's the other thing about, you know, social media and all these things is, you know, when you're looking at a photo, you're taking someone else's. Oh, there we go. Great photo.
There's a picture of Conan freaking out behind you.
That was in Japan.
Now, Japan is on my bucket list.
Oh, it's great.
You can recommend it? Yes.
Lovely. Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, actually, it's so funny. So this was, we landed at the wrong airport. We were supposed to, in Japan, we went, part of the conceit for going was Conan started a fake feud with the mayor of this town. Right. And so we were going to go to this town.
He often does stuff like that.
He does, yes. And so we're going to go to this town. And so we had flown from Tokyo, but we landed. There were two airports, and we landed in the wrong one. So all these people were supposed to meet us at the airport.
Oh, my God.
And we were the wrong airport. And so then we had to figure out what to do. And so we were driving frantically across that photo was taken
to get to the crowd that was waiting for you. How far apart were these airports?
Great question. I mean, it was like we were in the car for a while, like an hour at least.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Long enough where we just ran out of things to say.
Where was the one place where, or did you have you had the occurrence where you were in a place and you thought, oh, this just got real?
Ooh, that's a good question. That happens every so often. That happened when we were in Israel. We were in the West Bank.
Okay.
That happened in Mexico City.
What happened in Israel? Was there incoming when you were there?
No. It was there were people who, you know, just had disagreements about how things were being run. But I think what's great about Conan is he's obviously a host, a TV host, but he's incredibly intelligent.
Right.
And so he, you know, he spoke to them and really wanted to hear their side of things. And we got it on camera and it was in the show and it became a really great moment. And,
yeah.
You know, we were where were we now? We ran into some refugees, some Syrian refugees, and I believe I want to say it was Germany. I'm not sure if that's correct, but and that again was amazing and a great experience. And that I think is what sets these Conan Without Borders shows apart. I mean, you really
they're funny, and you learn something, but there really is some good protein in there in terms of talking to people, who have different views.
Were you with him in the Golan Heights in Israel?
I was.
And so you're looking down into Lebanon and seeing places where that had recently been shelled, where there was active war, mm-hmm. And where you were, there wasn't. But you're looking down at
and there had been. I think that our person told us there had been shelling where we were standing, like a week before, 2 weeks before.
And what's an experience like that like?
It's intense.
You move to the left.
Yeah. I mean, that's intense. But again, those are the moments that really that I really treasure and value. And I mean, it's one of those things where one of my jobs on that trip, on these trips, is to document things, is to shoot behind the scenes stuff
and to kind of keep an eye
on live stream and
an overall view while everyone is getting distracted. You have to make sure content's being generated.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got to make sure, right, I'm doing my job. But and so it's an interesting trick and kind of a hard trick to kind of be able to document what's going on, but also to take a moment and be like, I'm here. This is happening.
Yeah.
This is not a dream. This is not Inception. Or is it all Inception? It's all VR, guys. But have that kind of feeling of, like, appreciate where we're at.
So to talk about you are responsible for the Clueless Gamer segment, which a lot of people are familiar with. It's ended up as a lot of viral videos.
Less serious than the travel shows. Yes.
Right. you are yourself an active, avid gamer?
I am. It's so funny because, like, the Clueless Gamer thing came about in such, like, one of these silly ways, which is I was just trying to think of bits, trying to write some stuff, and just thinking, like, man, Conan's so smart and I'm so dumb. Like, what could Conan be dumb at that I'd be smart at? Wait a second. He spent his whole life being smart and reading books. I've spent my life playing video games. Let's flip it. And so, and again, to Conan's credit, you know, he's like, let's try it. I don't know.
And it's been good. So to explain it, he sits there and tries to play games a lot of times with other celebrities.
Yeah, so Clueless Gamer, if you haven't seen it, please watch. It's great. It's a segment on our show where Conan sits down either with myself or a celebrity and tries to play a video game. And he's terrible.
To Casey's point, it seems that he has gotten a little better. I've always argued this point to anyone who, and Preston is a gamer as well, Casey plays as well. Nick, I don't know if you do with it. So at a basic level, if you learn the X and Y axis on the controller and just get good at that and make that sort of secondary, you can pretty much tackle any game.
That's a big if, and he hasn't done it yet. People are amazing. Like, it's so funny. Like, people who make game developers and stuff will come in, and they won't believe me when I say he's terrible. I'll come in, and then it'll take, you know, right, here we go. Yes, this is God of War with Bill Hader.
Which, by the way, is sensational. The last God of War. We're watching a video for the greatest game.
For those don't understand what we're commenting on, we're watching a video in the studio.
That's right.
Now.
We're watching the Clueless Gamer with Bill Hader and Conan playing the most recent God of War. Bill Hader, by the way, best person in the world.
Yeah.
Great guy.
I love that guy.
So great. Barry's great. He's great. Barry is the show, not a person. Conan's terrible, and but it makes it fun, and I think I kind of spoke about this at the Innovation Festival yesterday a little bit, but you know, Clueless Gamer I think what's so great and what people love about it is the fact that it rides that perfect middle line that you're always trying to hit in comedy, where it touches everybody. People who hate video games or people who don't know them or understand them, they appreciate what Conan says when he's like, I can't get past this chair. Why can't I get past this chair? But then people who love video games, like myself, love to see him and celebrities play games that they love. So it's kind of right in the middle of that Venn diagram.
Who's the best gamer that you've had celebrity-wise? Who'll come in and just tore it up?
Gamer. I'll tell you something. Tom Brady
came in. You got to be kidding.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, which is came in and was not – great. He played against Conan three rounds, I think. First round, Conan beat him.
What game?
Was
it Madden?
No, it was For Honor. It was like the samurai game. But he paid attention. He adjusted and didn't lose a single match since. And that blew me away.
That's an athlete.
An athlete, yeah. And But I mean, the best game, I don't know, Kumail Nanjiani, who's awesome and a good friend.
Yeah.
He's just a gamer. He used to have a podcast called The Indoor Kids with his wife, Emily Gordon. He's a great gamer, and he is in the game we played, which was this Mordor game, Shadow of Mordor.
They're building a $50 million
I heard
arena here.
Esports.
Yeah.
Do you what is the opinion of everyone in the room about esports?
I don't get it.
We're trying to figure that out. And I know. Listen, there's clearly something there, and there's clearly they've done their due diligence, and they believe that there's something to be had there. And to me, though, and I think Nick Murphy, who has his own our video guy, who has his own YouTube presence with you know, kind of what you do, and with what Conan does, same sort of thing. The beauty of video gaming has always been that this is something you could do on your couch,
right?
And
right.
You could play around the world with other people, and there you go. So for people to wrap their minds around, there is a whole culture that really enjoys going to an arena to watch gamers.
Right.
Basically, so I say it's almost like watching a movie in real time, being with the script being written as they're playing.
Okay, yeah.
My son watches people play video games, and I've told these guys before, it – like, I feel rage. I hear how much don't get it. When I hear that guy's voice that he watches, it drives me up a wall. And I'll say, Jace, you know, time to brush your teeth. Jace, time to brush. Oh, my God. Like, it's worse than if he was playing with something and he wasn't listening to me, fine. But, like, the fact that it's in this video game, I really have to learn how, because he loves it. And it's not going to go away. Clearly, with things like this happening now, he's going to get more and more into it as he gets older.
She's hoping that someday narcotics will take
over. Yes. Oh, God, please. No. No.
And the
just
thing
try
is,
these pills.
Our kids will my Kathy impression.
My son is 12, and he's now emulating these people that he watches on
like, you know, Ninja.
So he feels the need to do a running commentary or scream or yell as he's playing these games. And I'm in another room, and I'm like, shut up! Now, I'm a little bit more open to the idea of esports. I'm a sports fan, right? Yeah. But, so, the thing is, right, so I was watching the Steelers play a couple of weeks ago, and I thought Mason Rudolph was killed in a play. He was sacked from behind and in the front. He was knocked out. He was out cold before he even hit the ground. And I was like, holy crap. He might actually be dead, and I don't like that. So in esports, you can literally kill people, and it's not like you don't have that feeling of that sick feeling you get when you're watching an actual sporting event, and let's say like a hockey player gets, you know, sliced open by a skate, or a, you know, football player gets knocked out cold.
Right.
I don't like that aspect of sports. So maybe with esports, like, okay. I'm totally cool with watching somebody get their head covered.
Well, to that point, I've always said games. There are games like the Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah.
So when they make you go eat and buy clothing, I do that in real life. I don't need. Wow, imagine if I purchased clothing.
Right.
What would that be like? So that's always a detraction. But for me, you know, I like a game that transports. Preston and I have talked about that. You're 4 or 5 hours into it. Oh my God, this time has lapsed. Like God of War transported me. That first one. I remember when the first game wrapped up and you found out why Kratos was gray.
Yeah,
it's like, oh my God, and it's just an amazing thing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to jump in because you asked us what our opinion was on esports.
Yeah,
what about you?
I love it. I think that I am excited to see where games go. You know, I kind of think like gaming now is where movies were in the 30s. I think we're just starting to see the potential, which is great.
Do you like the extraction? A lot of games are extracting the campaign modes from their games. I don't like that.
I'm a campaign guy.
I'm a campaign guy. I like games, me personally, for the storytelling and kind of for the... Oh, this is... Again, I sound like such a douche.
I like games because of the art,
but it's true. I like them as an art form, and I think that we're starting to see some really great stuff come out of video games. It's interesting to hear you guys talk about like feeling rage about kids watching games, because it's in that way it's no different than a sport. It's no different than watching basketball.
Yeah.
And you know, like going on Twitch, you know, which is a streaming service, a streaming platform. Watching other people stream games, that's interesting to me. I think games are beautiful because they're a proactive form of entertainment. So you can tell a story, like for God of War, for instance, the new one. You know, there's a great father-son dynamic in that game.
It's awesome.
That's as good or better than any movie I've seen. And because it's emotionally visceral, because you are Kratos. You're playing that character. So you have an emotional connection to
it. Preston and I talked to Twilight. If you played Twilight Princess...
Oh, yeah.
you will cry.
Oh, yeah. It's emotional.
It's an emotional game.
Yeah.
What's your favorite game of all time?
I
know it's a tough question.
Oh, boy. Oh, brother.
Donkey Kong, right?
Oh, DK all day. DK. That's a really good question. My favorite game of all time. Jeez. I mean, I'll tell you one of my favorite games that people haven't heard of. Well, my favorite game probably the last few years is this game Inside.
Have you
heard
of Inside?
Where you're a kid.
Oh, and you're escaping a factory.
You're escaping a factory.
It's a scroller. These guys about it. It's
fantastic.
It's an amazing game.
And anybody listening, it's great. Don't read about it. Just go buy it. It's cheap. It's fun.
You can download it. I played it on the Xbox.
Awesome.
It's
really fun.
It's unlike anything
scary.
You play.
Yeah, the art is beautiful. And
the physics are sensational.
Great. And the world building is great. Like, and again, I love anything like a TV show, a movie. You know, Star Wars is great because it built a whole world in three movies, you know, in the early 80s. And then they ruined it. And now they're bringing it to... come on, JJ, don't disappoint us. So I love world building, and Inside does that. The Witness is great. That's a game. It's a problem-solving game. It's really fun, beautiful, and it is a game. It's a thing. It's the kind of video game that could only be a video game. It could be a movie. Because it gives you the feeling, you get these little epiphanies throughout the game because you're figuring these puzzles out. And you're learning basically a new language that it's teaching you. How's
that?
No, it's cool.
Honestly, why video games are great. But I think one thing that people haven't really figured out is, and they're starting to, is, you know, video games are obviously here to stay. But I'm interested in, and the long way around to the answer to your question is, I love esports because it shows that video games can be sports, it can be art, they can be storytelling, they can be tutorials, they can teach people how to do surgery, but if you're going to be a surgeon, don't learn just from a video game. But it can teach you all these things. And so it's kind of water that comes in through the floorboards and is kind of becoming a part of every aspect of our lives in a very cool way. My mom plays Toon Blast on her phone. She loves it. And I play God of War on the PS4. We're both gamers. That's great.
Yeah.
It's
true.
It's fun. I do a little live stream show called Dinner in a Video Game where I make dinner terribly and then play a video game. And I like that because it's using video games like another aspect of life. It's not just, let's play a game and watch it. No, let's use video games as a tool to do something else, which is cool.
That's very cool. I do get it.
Eat and play at the same time?
Yes, but all my controllers are covered in like flour.
They gotta be.
Yeah, it's so gross.
Unfortunately, we gotta wrap up, but any other buddies you need to hang out and drink with tonight before you get out of town?
I'm going back to L.A., the hellscape that's L.A. tonight. I wish I could stay in Philly. I love it here.
It's great,
I was driving here to the studio, and it's just like, the river, water, green greenery, clouds, nice people. People obeying traffic laws. Yeah.
Well, not always, but some.
It's like Mad Max Fury Road in L.A. My commute is like Furiosa trying to get away.
Well, then come back and spend some time here.
Absolutely.
All right, man.
Love to.
It was really nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you for having
me. Give Conan our best.
I will.
And hopefully we'll talk to you in the near future.
100%.
Yeah, keep us apprised of what you're doing, especially all the video game stuff. We'll keep this going.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Aaron Blair. Let's hear it for you guys. Senior producer with Conan. We are going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We have actor John Capellas on in just a moment. So stay with us.
93.3 WMMR proudly supports the inaugural Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa, Sunday, October 27th. The event benefits the Philadelphia Police Foundation with a run through historic Old City to 30th Street Station and back for a post-run festival at Penn's Landing featuring food and beverages courtesy of Wawa, awards for top finishers in multiple age groups, and fun for the whole family. Click events at WMMR.com for all the details and to get signed up. Sunday, October 27th. It's the Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa. 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
I've always wanted to talk to this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
His list of credits are lengthy and impressive and cool, and a couple of iconic roles in these, of which I will have to name because he's got an album out. and does a cover of Don't You Forget About Me,
which is
of
very
of course
pertinent.
Is the theme from Breakfast Club, and he played Carl the janitor in that movie. Very cool thing about that, the very, very beginning of the movie when they're doing the credits, they show different, you know, lockers, you know, hallways, stuff like that. They show a quick picture of him, and he was the man of the year as a senior when he was at that high school, and then they show him as the janitor later on. It's just kind of an interesting little thing, but he's been in a ton of John Hughes movies. I'm going to shut up now, and I'm going to welcome to our program Mr. John Capellos to the program. Hey, John.
Hello.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for coming on. Listen,
good morning.
I've always wanted to talk to you, and I'm a huge John Hughes fan. Listen, we'll go into, you know, more current things that you're being, because Umbrella Academy is coming up, and I know you're going to be in the second season, which I absolutely am dying to see. You know, do you get the Carl the janitor thing a bit? Because it was such a cool character.
Yeah, I get it almost daily. I mean, you know, it depends how I look. If I sort of look like 19 whatever, 80 something, yeah, people go, "Oh yeah, you are or were Carl the janitor." But you know, I love it. I'm proud of it. Cool. I dig the movie. I think it's great. You know, how could you not?
Yeah.
It's so pivotal for so many people. You know, the Goldbergs did a full tribute to it, and I think your character has such an emotional, I think, core of the movie. And I don't know if this is true or not. I've been wanting to ask you. The sequence where you're sitting there talking to Vernon, Paul Gleason, the actor, the assistant principal, and you say the line about wanting to grow up to be John Lennon. Was that something you improvised?
Absolutely. When John and I, Hughes, and I were working out the scene, there was this beat in the scene where he said, "Listen, I think it was written with some other person, but he said, what did you want to be when you were a kid?" And I said, "Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be John Lennon." He said, oh yeah, use that. And that's how that fit in, and which is the absolute truth. I mean, after school every day, we go out and grab tennis rackets and play Beatles.
But it just resonates, that line. It just hits you because it's, you know, it's that kind of thing, and you're staring across at him, and he's kind of the cynic, and you're still remembering what it was like to be a kid, and you're pointing out. I think that's why this movie, Preston cites it as you know, a pivotal movie for him and for so many, because it got kids, and John Hughes got kids and got teenagers.
Yeah, well, the thing about John is, and like if you remember back to that time in the 80s, I mean, a lot of movies up until that point, except with, let's say, Rebel Without a Cause in the 50s, sort of talked down to teens and were written by adults and were kind of preachy and uncool. And John just knew how to sort of unlock the door of the teens' language, and he spoke to teens, and the adults in his movies were kind of like the adults in a Charlie Brown cartoon.
Yeah.
Sort of wah-wah-wah, you know, kind of goofy and inconsequential, and like, John really had a touch. And the thing is, you know, I think about it, I talk about it, and the film is really, I think, about identity. You know, everybody's sort of looking to separate themselves from their parents and figure out how they fit into the various cliques in school. And that's what it's about, and that's why it resonates to this day. Like, I have friends who'll have a kid who's a nerdy 10- or 11-year-old, and then 4 years later, I get a call like, "My son or daughter wants to speak to you, John." And I go, "Okay." So I just saw this movie that you were in. It's really cool. And, you know, and all of a sudden you get that they're kind of in the same sort of maelstrom of trying to figure it out, you know?
For a lot of people, it was cool to know there were other kids like them, other teens like them, and that's something that John Hughes sort of gave to the world.
Yeah, and John, you know, sadly he's not here, but he really, really, he really just knew how to, I mean, with Anthony Michael Hall and with Molly, he had these sort of muses that he worked through.
Yeah.
And they totally got him. I mean, watching him and Anthony Michael Hall work was at times absolutely strange. I mean, I started on 16 Candles, and just watching how Farmer Ted was basically John's guy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they would finish each other's sentences. They'd, you know, it was bizarre in a way because, you know, Anthony Michael Hall was like this little mini John Hughes. And he was so smart, and still is, obviously. But I mean, he was such a mouthpiece for John. And John, you know, John sort of navigated well with teenagers. I don't know how well he did with adults. Obviously, he did very well in terms of his career. But he was kind of locked into being 14 in his head. You know,
hey.
and And the movies still work in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know of anybody that really sort of has that gift at the moment, frankly.
Yeah. John, by the way, speaking of 16 Candles, you played a pretty slimy character in that, the oily bohunk. And you played...
Well, that's debatable. I didn't play... I thought he was pretty cool.
I was going to see...
Shot Wolf it, you know?
I've seen you play kind of slimy...
I'm pretty stupid right about now.
Very good.
That's one of the classic lines.
But I like your laugh in that machine gun laugh that you do, which I don't know if that's your natural laugh or not, but...
It certainly was at that time. I mean, my family used to ridicule me for my laugh, and I said, well, you know... I'm taking that one to the bank. You know?
I'll tell you something. The physical comedy you do with Blanche Baker, I believe is her name, who is, you know, as she's just high on painkillers. And you're dragging her down the steps, and you two, I don't know if you were improvising or choreographed that, but it's just hilarious as she's jumping up trying to bite the rice as they're throwing at her.
Oh, my God.
What was that?
A lot of that sort of sprung out of this, you know, just doing it. We did not rehearse that. Like, you know, there was no day before we got together and choreographed it. It sort of came out of the blue, and, you know, it worked. I was working at Second City at the time, so I was pretty, you know, drenched in comedy. And Blanche just had this natural gift. You know, her mother was a very famous actor in the 50s and 60s named Carol Baker.
I love Carol Baker, yeah.
And she was in, like, Elia Kazan's Baby Doll. She was a real sex bomb. Blanche really... Blanche, that was a hard gig for her that day, playing that sort of... You know, it was not easy. In a church full of people, particularly all those old character actors that were sort of watching her and seeing how well she was going to do. And Brian Doyle Murray, Bill Murray's brother, was the guy who married me. In the church.
Yeah.
And we actually had Jim and John Belushi's mother was an extra in that scene.
I did not know that.
Coming up the aisle, and then she sort of falls over. There's a lady with a big hat and a red top. Mrs. Belushi.
No way.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I firmly remember that. Wow. Well, listen.
A lot of extra work at that time, so that was kind of cool.
What about singing? Because you've got this album out, Too Hip for the Room. Has singing always been a part of your life in the world of arts?
Yeah, you know, I took piano when I was a kid, and when I was a teenager, there was a fork in the road, and I decided to become an actor as opposed to a musician, and probably the better choice. And then when I, you know, like about 10, 15 years ago, actually longer, I did an album in the 1990s, and I just really wanted to do a jazz album and with sort of my own twist on it. And I find, like, a lot of jazzers take themselves very seriously, and I kind of wanted tunes that were kind of lighter. And then we decided to cover Don't You Forget About Me, which has been very, very popular, and people are digging it. And it was a sort of a natural for me. I love, you know, the Simple Minds version. I remember Jim Kerr saying to me when it came out that he hated recording it.
Yeah, we had him in here.
Billy Idol was supposed to do it, and David Bowie was asked to do it, and Brian Ferry, and they all passed on it. And eventually Simple Minds were the ones that did it.
We had Jim by the studio earlier this year, and he was a wonderful guy, great interview. And, he talked in depth about how they almost didn't make that happen. They certainly had their own hits, but that was just an anthem for them, you know?
Yeah, and again, it came out of the blue, you know, for them, because they were doing their own thing. But I got to say, John, also, if you think about it, really revolutionized the soundtrack of movies, because up until that point, they were using sort of sound-alike songs in movies. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I was a kid in the 60s, you know, if there was a rock song, they'd have some really crummy rock band cover it or something. hold on, my tea is going on in the background.
Get that tea!
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm working on a play today, so I got to keep my voice in shape. So.
I gotcha. I want to ask about the Umbrella Academy real quick, and that's coming up. I really love the first season, so I'm ready for this in January. Are you going to be a minor character, a main character in this?
I'm going to be. I got to tippy toe around this because I'm in about 6 or 7 episodes. I cannot talk about the character I play because it'll give away the time frame.
Okay.
I've signed an NDA with Universal Content and NBC not to say anything about this, but I will just give you a hint that he's a late 20th century guy who's involved in sort of an epicenter of a major controversy in American history.
Okay.
And it's a pretty groovy part. I you know, it's really a challenging good part for me. I get to work with some wonderful cast members like Tom Potter, who is in Game of Thrones, and a lot of really cool people. And I wish I could say more about it, but you got to tune in January.
And I will. I absolutely will. That's nice.
Like that. And then also doing this movie for Hallmark called Crossword Mysteries. And we're doing the second episode is airing this coming weekend on Hallmark Mysteries, Movies and Mystery Channel.
I'm a sucker for that Hallmark stuff. I can't help it. All the holiday stuff. And they get you every time, and you're like, I'm not going to watch this. And you watch the freaking thing. It's just it's a winning formula.
You'd be surprised the people that come up to me and say they watch this thing, like truck drivers and construction workers, the guys that you think would never watch Hallmark. Well, my girlfriend got me watching it, and all of a sudden, you know, I find myself coming home and curling up with a little coffee.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I watch the most vicious horror movies and action movies and John Woo stuff, and I sit there when the Hallmark channel comes on and say, all right, I'll check this out. And
they figured something out there, right?
Yeah, so, it's a winning formula. So, and you've been a part of so much of. I mean, as Preston said, you get recognized a lot from that. But is there? I mean, you've done so many things. Is there something second to The Breakfast Club that you get recognized for when you are recognized?
I get a lot of stuff for Seinfeld. I played Barry Proffitt, a sniffing accountant. And,
yes.
They thought, like, he was doing drugs, and then he was allergic to a sweater, and then they find out he's probably doing drugs, and that one. And also, there are other films, like Mike Figgis's Internal Affairs is a big one.
Great
and,
movie.
I've done a lot of films, so, and I was in The Shape of Water. If you blink, you miss me, but I'm in that.
No,
people
yeah.
I love that movie.
How did you end up being uncredited in Tootsie?
Oh, God. Wow. it was one of those things where I was just starting out, and I went to New York and they gave me a bunch of lines to do in the movie. And between Dustin and Billy, they started giving them out to other people, primarily girls. And eventually, I sort of lost most of the lines I was supposed to say. And at the end of the day, I went back to Chicago, and when they went to release the movie, they didn't put my name in the credits, which was really surprising to me. And I was a neophyte, you know, it was my first film experience. So I phoned up the Screen Actors Guild and made a protest, and I get residuals to this day. But the same thing happened in Legally Blonde. I did a part in Legally Blonde where, you know, they take the doggy away from me.
Yeah.
For some weird snafu, I'm not in the credits of that. And
one
of those things like for Tootsie was basically because I was underrepresented. I didn't have somebody, you know, like an agent or a manager saying, hey, listen, this guy is in the movie. And the second one was just totally a major snafu by the producers. And they were, you know, uber apologetic, but by that point it was too, you know, it was over.
Yeah, at least you're getting paid for it. When I was in the high school play Camelot in high school, they had a big, the T-shirt. Every cast member got a T-shirt, and it had the whole cast listing on the back, and I was left off of that T-shirt.
Oh.
So not only did I not get paid.
Man, you played a great horse.
I was a man of Camelot.
Oh, my God.
That hurt.
I was the curtain puller for my school play. So, and you know, everybody reminds me of that, all my high school friends. Hey, you pulled curtains for us in the school play.
Well, you've been in so much. I mean, as you go through the list of stuff, Nothing in Common with Jackie Gleason and Tom Hanks. The Boost, which is a movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah, Internal Affairs, you said.
Roxanne.
There's a horror movie that you're in that I really like called The Relic with Tom Sizemore. We were going through it because last week we had the guy who played the Gimp from Pulp Fiction on. And yeah. I said, you know, you are insinuated in so many great movies. And as a classic character actor, I mean, to me, I always thought that would be the way to if you become an actor, to become a character actor that can be inserted into so many movies. And you are basically that. It's got to be, you got to look back and say, hey, damn it, I did it.
Yeah, and I got to say, I mean, that movie is was an experience with Mr. Sizemore, who is, you know, no longer acting as much as he probably could have.
Yeah.
But that's another story. I'm currently in a movie on Netflix called Love Shot, which is a little indie that I was an executive producer on. That's really a cool movie, and people should check that one out.
Okay.
But, you know, when I was a kid, I used to come home from school and watch the afternoon movie with my mother, and she would always point out these wonderful characters, like, you know, from the 40s and 50s, and she was a big movie person. And I just fell in love with those guys.
Yeah.
And when I still see movies to these days, you know, it's like Alan Hale Sr., you know, Alan Hale Jr. from Gilligan's Island's father was in, like, Robin Hood and, like, 100 other movies, and all these really great character actors. And for me, they gave the movies a real sense of, I don't know, reality and fun. And
they did, so and they always worked. They always worked.
Always worked and always gave, you know, great performances. Like, you know, Walter Brennan, every time I see him. So it's kind of like I grew up with that in my head. And when I became an actor, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, I looked around. There were a lot of these really handsome guys that do the leading man parts, which is fine. You know, we need them. But for me, it wasn't as interesting as doing the other stuff. And I love playing guys that are sort of more, like, let's say, have problems.
Yes.
Or have issues.
For every leading man, you need an oily bohunk. So there you go. Yeah.
Exactly, you know. So, you know, my mother used to say, why don't you get to kiss the girl? I go, Ma, in the movies, I get to kill the girl. That's what
Ooh. Yeah. Very interesting. All right, listen, John, we got a break, but we're gonna play some clips of your songs from Too Hip for the Room, which is out on October 23rd. I can't wait to hear the one called I Wish I Was Married to Your Wife. So there's some interesting titles, but listen.
It's available now on Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff.
Okay, all right.
October 23rd of last year, so.
We'll send people in that direction. Thanks, John. And we'll see you in the Umbrella Academy and everything else. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yep. John Capello. Yes, guys. All right. Here's him doing his cover of Don't You Forget About Me.
Given everything inside and out.
He went with a loungy.
Feeling
the dark. Think of the tender thing that we were working on. And slow change may pull us apart. When the light gets into your heart, baby, don't you forget about me. Don't.
All right. And then I want to hear I Wish I Was Married to Your Wife.
I had your job next to you. I'm an old shoe. And I feel like a slob. Oh, I have a house. I have a wife, but they have no appeal. My life seems so distant and in such disarray, and yours seems so perfect and real.
He's a jazzy dude.
Yeah, he said, you know, it reminded me a little bit of Richard Cheese.
I remember Richard Cheese. Lounge Against the Machine. That's the name of his album, if you remember that. Wow. That's cool, man. I like him a lot. I've always enjoyed seeing him pop up in a movie. Oh, there he is, you know?
Yeah, when you get these people on, and obviously if he had been in studio, maybe one day we'll get him because he has, I mean, his list of films, one right after another.
It goes on and on.
Yeah, and you always check, okay, shows. So what tier was, you know, you look for his cast listing, and he's always in the top 10. He's always somebody whose figure is fairly prominently in the movie. It's kind of cool.
Yep. Speaking of movies, I did see this story I thought was kind of interesting. In the film Casino Royale.
Yes, the Bond film.
The Bond film, the remake, the newer, the 2006 adaptation, I guess I should say. The super yacht that is in that movie, the 108-foot Sunseeker, is now available for charter if you would like to hire that boat for a little bit.
Okay.
It is the company that's doing it is called Camper and Nicholson's. And what do you think that'd run you for about a week?
Okay, knowing that Kylie Jenner did one for her birthday that was similar, I'm going to say $1 million.
Oh, no. Just for a week to rent it.
Because she had, hers was like at a gym on board and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, this one is $72,000.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
That's
a steal price.
What a steal.
You save so much. You save over $900,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, hang on. Let's talk about this for a second. How many people can sleep on this thing?
Eight.
Three. Oh, eight?
And yep.
Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Sleep eight. Yeah, listen, when they say sleep in, I mean, you could probably fit more people in it.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, 72 people. We all kick in a grand each.
Well, I wasn't thinking 72 people, but I mean, All right, so you got to do a little bit of math. Maybe not 72 people.
Maybe 32 people.
Maybe 32 people, and you know, a couple of grand each.
Mm-hmm.
And does that
you
include...
got to tip the staff and everything? You know, I would imagine.
Dude, I didn't know that you had to like. So suppose you go like I did that Grand Canyon expedition thing.
Yes,
I went on a boat, and we had a ship captain and all that sort of stuff.
You had a ship? You took a ship down the river?
Well, not a ship, but a boat captain. So you had these river guides. Let's call them river guides.
Okay.
I didn't know that you were supposed to tip them at the end of the week.
Oh, yes.
Always.
Thank God that I had money. Because I'm in the middle of the Grand Canyon. Why
would I have... You get a dollar, and you get a dollar.
Why would I have $300 on me, which is kind of like what you're supposed to tip, like 10% of the trip or whatever.
When I did the mountain climb in Africa, we had to, and those guys made their money on tips, and it was we were told ahead of time, bring cash, bring it in U.S. dollars, and make sure you tip them at the end. And it was $200 for the head guide.
They should tell you stuff like that ahead of time.
They should tell you, and thank God. So
there's here's a copy of Scorpion King 3.
You're
going
to want to hang on to that. No, there was a place somewhere down the river called Phantom Ranch, and for some reason I was under the impression that there was going to be like some sort of shop where if I needed some supplies, I'd be able to buy them at Phantom Ranch. You can't. So that's the only reason I had money on me. Thank God, because I would have felt like such an idiot being the only person on the boat not tipping these guys.
Yeah, no, I know. And sometimes it's like, oh, wow, okay, I guess I have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
$5. Maybe I'll go to the movies by myself. The luxury cruiser, which takes the same name as the movie, so it's called the Casino Royale.
Ah, very nice.
Made an on-screen splash as the hideout of the supervillain Le Chiffre, played by Mads Mikkelsen. Is that how you say
Mads
his name?
Mikkelsen, yes.
No, yeah. I mean Le Chiffre, is that?
Le Chiffre, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You got it.
Casino Royale was first delivered back in 2004 by British shipyard Sunseeker and was refitted in 2016 for approximately $1.3 million. Today, the super yacht has a much star power grunt and good looks like the film's leading man, Daniel Craig, it says.
It has a much star power grunt?
It has as much star power, grunt, and good looks as the film. I didn't read that with proper inflection.
It's very much
great. It didn't make any sense. It is very much great. Powered by three 2,000 horsepower MTU diesel engines.
Wow.
Linked to Arneson surface drives, the sporty vessel can cut through the sea at a maximum speed of 45 knots.
That's pretty good.
Cruises comfortably at anywhere between 30 and 33 knots. She
has a knot, though? I mean,
a little bit longer than a mile?
It's very close to 1 mile per hour.
It's close to a mile, yeah. Okay. Do you know why they call it knot?
No.
So in the early days of ship travel, they would take a rope, and they would tie knots in the rope at a certain length, and they would throw it out in the water and let it go loose, and they would hold it, and it would pull through their hand, and how many knots goes through
the
speed that they were doing. Yeah, so that's where the term comes from.
I wonder what it costs to gas this thing up. You know,
you're looking at least $100.
Probably.
It's astonishing amount of money to fuel it up.
Yeah.
Then also, obviously, well, listen, you're it's one set price. I'm sure it's not a la carte where you're like, oh, I'll take a little bit of fuel.
Right.
We'll skip lunch, obviously. And if you're the kind of person who will rent this, you don't ask about the price because you don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, do you have a coupon for the Casino Royale?
It says she has a narrow hull finished in a nautical navy blue and is both graceful and agile in the water.
I mean, I wish I had the money for this. I don't have any desire to ever really go on a cruise.
That would make it not something you want to do.
No, like a cruise ship, I'm saying.
With thousands of people.
Thousands
on board.
Of people.
Oh, but this would appeal to you?
So Ritz-Carlton is doing this thing now where they have it's bigger than this.
Yes,
and
but it's less people, right?
Less people, and it's obviously plush and stuff like that. It's not going to cost you, I don't think, $72,000 for the week. But it's sort of the same idea. I wouldn't want to pay to be on a cruise. If you paid me to go on a cruise, maybe I would do that.
You can do cruise ships that are less populated, like some of the Viking cruises. The river cruises.
I don't want to do a river cruise.
There's also Club Med cruises, Casey, and they're like the Ritz-Carlton ones. You can do them in the Caribbean. They're smaller ships. They're often sail ships.
You can stow away on cargo ships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not a river cruise?
It just doesn't that doesn't appeal to me because, I mean, honestly, I just think riversides aren't that When you get, like, up to Philadelphia, sure, that's great. And then you go past Philadelphia, and it's, like, oil refinery, and then, you know, like,
yeah, but
crappy areas.
In Europe, yeah. River, you know, there are rivers
The main cities obviously sprout up along the river.
Right. I think you have to be a cruise person. There are cruise people, sure. And then there are people that are just...
I'm not a cruise person.
Me neither. Mm-hmm. And I've done it before.
I've done it like five or six of them. I'm like...
Yeah, like I don't need... I did it once. I'm good. I don't need to go back. But there are people that love it and will do it as a yearly vacation. Yep.
There's one cruise ship I'm seeing commercials for. It looks amazing. There's like a gigantic amphitheater at the back of this cruise ship.
Yeah. And this is the newest one. That amphitheater is sprawling.
And they do like dive shows and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
They do. They have a freaking go-kart track on the thing.
Some of them have...
water slides.
Indoor skydiving.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Kid you not?
Yeah.
Yep. I did do skeet shooting on one ship one time. That was kind of fun, yeah.
You think
they didn't have it. You just brought your shotgun.
Yeah, I brought my shotgun. Pull! I can bring this, right?
You're done
with that drink? Throw the glass.
Bam!
Pull!
They wouldn't have that anymore, right?
When you look at...
They probably do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they absolutely do.
Yeah.
Mm. Just ask before you start shooting.
Yeah. In Casino Royale, inside, they have a generous open plan layout. She can sleep 8 guests in 4 cabins, 1 master suite, 2 twin guest cabins, and a VIP suite. Plus, there's accommodation for 4 crew, so it takes 4 people to run the ship.
You got to tip those guys.
Each room is appointed.
I guess I gotta tip you.
Each room is appointed with an entertainment center, a TV, an en-suite bathroom, and the master suite has a massive walk-in wardrobe as well as a study. Paneled in satin cherry wood, the main salon features a retractable sunroof above the dining area, which allows for swaths of natural light.
Oh.
While on the main deck, there's a jacuzzi,
a gym,
an alfresco lounge area and bar to order that martini, of course. And the super yacht has a bunch of water toys, too, such as...
Patrons are invited to defecate over the side of the ship.
there are water toys such as stand-up paddle boards, water skis, snorkeling gear, inflatable towables, and a Sea-Doo.
What's a Sea-Doo?
Whatever the sea wants to.
Yeah. Casino Royale is currently docked in the Mediterranean Sea and is waiting patiently for your next escape.
See, I rented for a long weekend the Revenge of the Nerds, which is a 16-foot boat.
That's the name of that movie.
Casino Royale was the Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. It was the Triland.
If you have that kind of loot, but there are obviously we've seen the super yachts of like Bill Gates where the side will open up and a yacht that we would consider a yacht comes out of the side of their yacht, which is not even a yacht. At that point, it's a full-blown ship. That level of wealth, when you get to that level of wealth, can you even put things into perspective? I think it's better to be at our level and be in awe of it.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you get immune to it, you know? I think at a certain point...
Well, yeah, I would imagine that some things cease to become special to you.
Yeah.
When you have unlimited resources. You can do whatever you want.
Are you in awe of anything when you... For example, does Bill Gates go, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Look at the... What does that for Bill Gates?
Slinky, right?
Yeah. Maybe it's the most simple thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like
it goes down the stairs by itself.
Yes.
When you talk to people that live around places that are just gorgeous to look at, you know, talk about the Grand Canyon, any of that area in the Southwest, you know, the Grand Canyon and Zion, like it's just beautiful to look at. And then I've asked our guides, like, do you ever get tired of looking at that? You know, and they're like, No. Yes, we do. I mean, you might sort of...
it's a big hole in the ground. Now, where's my tip?
Yeah. No, I've talked to people who have been around beautiful scenery like that all the time, and they just, no, you don't get tired.
How could you, like, Big Sir, how could that ever get old to you?
No.
Even Little Sir.
Yeah. Tiny Sir.
Hi, this is Little Sir.
And I'm Big Sir.
And I'm Big Sir. What's the most extravagant thing you've ever rented?
A movie.
Other than a high-end hotel room?
Casey, when we got that that Maserati down in Florida, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. I mean,
It wasn't that much extra, right?
Well, so that's the thing. Preston rented the car, and then I bucked up the extra to make it.
They do this really smart thing when you're going up to grab, you know, your Hyundai.
I've seen it. They've got the Porsches and the Maseratis.
They got the top one sitting out there, and it's like, you know, for $100 more, you can have this.
Of course.
And so I had already paid for the rental, and it was my birthday weekend. Yeah. Casey's like, I'll buck up for your birthday here for you to drive this. I'm like, yeah, man.
And it was cool because when we went out to dinner, we went to the valet. The guy thought it was our car. He's like, hey, this is a nice car.
This is a great rental.
When you hang out with rich people, they can rent cool stuff for you. So I have an aunt that has some money, and she rented this boat in Lake Tahoe called the Thunderbird. And we had a big party on it and drove around the entire lake. I could never afford to do that on my own. But when you have access to people who have access to things, that's pretty special.
Use them for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's from the book called Better Living Through Leeching.
Right, yes.
There's a great story about Drew Carey when his show was at its height. He told the entire staff, like, listen, we all have like 3 weeks off. We're all taking this time off. We're going to meet at this place. Bring clothes for warm weather, and that's all you need to know. And he had rented out a sailing cruise ship.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so cool. And he's like, this is on me. And number one, that's a really awesome thing to do. But number two, to live in, you know, that taste of luxury for a few weeks would be pretty awesome.
Our boss took us bowling one time.
He did?
He did.
In Maniac, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
It was a great time. It was
a lot of fun.
That was fun, Bill.
Did you rent the whole place out? Or?
Yeah, the whole place.
Nah, just five lanes.
Yeah. All six lanes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that kind of thing, again, to that point, it was nice. It was nice to see that.
Anyway, I mean, was saying it was a lot of fun.
I bet you Bill Gates would go in and go, this ain't nothing. I've been to places that have 10 lanes.
I don't think I've rented anything out. Like, I've gone on trips, but nothing that's like extravagant that you have to rent. We rented a boat once, but it wasn't that bad, the price.
We rented out the Grand movie theater. That was pretty cool.
Oh, for video games.
Just to play video games.
Yeah, that's neat.
That was pretty awesome. I didn't know you could do that. They had the video game system. I'm like, you're kidding me. So we played Star Wars Battlefront on that giant screen with a huge sound system. That was awesome.
That's fun.
Yeah. At that level, it's cool. And you can still appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, you can rent these places down in, like, the Outer Banks, right? And they are, just by the looks of it, they're extravagant. Every single house
We're thinking about doing that next summer.
Yeah, they have these.
Are they pricey?
Well, let me finish. They have pools, they have hot tubs, they have full-on game rooms. And, like, just, you know, sometimes they have, like, a couple of kitchens, and they're amazing. And they're expensive.
Bedrooms.
Yeah, they're expensive for one family to rent. So it would be extravagant for one family. But usually what people do is they'll go, like, two, three, four families.
Yep.
And it ends up, like, you know.
Because they're huge houses.
Because they're gigantically huge houses.
However,
Casey,
when you compare
them to Jersey Shore prices, they're pretty much the same for a single-family home at the Jersey Shore for a week.
Yeah.
You can get for two or three families in the Outer Banks.
And you can also, when you leave, you take stuff.
Oh, no, yeah. There's so much stuff in there, they won't notice.
I'm interested to see what you figure out, though, and what you find, Preston, because we tried to do it, and those big, extravagant houses that they put up there, they're not actually available, and everything that we were finding wasn't big enough to stick two large families in and split the cost and
all
that.
You got to get there early, so that's the thing.
That's why we're looking now for next summer.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, it's weird in October to start planning your summer vacation.
Planning your summer vacation.
Yes, right? You can't.
I haven't heard that in a while.
But you have to. I mean, if you want to nail down where you want to stay, you have to get way ahead of it. Because a lot of times what families will do is they'll rent it like as their, you know, vacation week is ending.
My point was they were just using these houses. They weren't actually available.
You got to get in touch with Chief Madonna.
I do.
Planning your summer vacation.
It's a piece of paper that says Chief Madonna.
I think I spelled Chief wrong.
It's a gay Indian tribe.
He's the chief of police at Prospect Park.
Chief Madonna.
Oh, really?
Oh, there you
go.
Why
do you need to call him?
Because I got arrested a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
And no, so there's a bully awareness walk on Sunday, and I think I may speak at the walk or whatever, but I haven't followed up with him.
Okay.
So I wrote myself a note because every single day I get in my car and I'm like, okay, call Chief Madonna as soon as you get in. And
but that's nothing to do with what we're talking about now.
Zero to do.
I just saw the name Chief Madonna written down
and
there.
And I have it written down there. Chief, I know you're listening right now.
Fabulous.
Our tribe is just awesome.
Nick, how do you spell Chief, by the way?
I-E.
Okay, I did spell it right.
You spelled it right. Nick, anytime somebody says the word Madonna or the name Madonna, do you like twitch or anything like that?
Yeah. It's like when the weather.
My leg!
It's like when it rains. Got a pain in my ankle.
Nick broke his ankle, the same leg.
Yeah.
From a Madonna injury same while leg. Dancing at a wedding.
Ironically, worse injury from dancing at a wedding than from hiking a mountain.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyhow, if you want to rent the James Bond Casino Royale boat, the super yacht, it'll cost you $72,000 per week. Get on it now, as I'm sure the vacancy is going to be gone, or won't be vacant long. We need to take a break because we have more to get to. We are going to do that very thing. We'll be back. Got some bizarre file stories on the way for you. And, make sure you stay close because we also want you to have a chance to win the Word of the Week prize, a trip to Los Angeles for another movie premiere. We'll get into the details in a little bit. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Hey, I want to thank Honeygrow, by the way, for messing up. And dropping off food for us this morning. They were supposed to come by tomorrow. They dropped it off today, and they said, oh, well, we'll see you tomorrow, too.
Nice. We
get 2 days out of it. So.
It's really good.
It's really good, man. So thank you, Honeygrow, for the two times the love. We need to do the Bizarre File, so let's do it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
It is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? Well, for nearly 17 years, Austin Davis, a resident of Keystone Heights near Gainesville, has eaten nothing but macaroni and cheese. 17 years.
Wow.
This is Dave Austin Davis?
His name is Austin Davis. Oh. I messed that up. Vice News published a short documentary featuring Davis earlier this week. He said, I don't want to say that I'm addicted to mac and cheese because it sounds so weird, but my body won't let me eat anything else. I didn't choose to be like this.
Yeah, you know what the truth is? He chose to be like that.
No, according to the therapist, Asley McCann, Davis has a selective eating disorder known as avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, a mental condition where new foods can trigger negative physical reactions.
According to
the Center for Discover, the condition is often linked to traumatic events. When Austin was a child, he was removed from his home and diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder after being physically abused by his father.
Hmm.
He now lives with his grandparents. Davis said the disorder has had a negative impact on his social life. He doesn't eat out and maintains few friendships, and he wants that to change. He said, it's weird for me to think of eating anything that's not yellow. The choice is not voluntary. Davis said he's actually sick of eating the same thing and has occasionally tried other foods, but his body will reject even something he thinks tastes good. Said as soon as it enters my mouth, it's like a sensory overload. Even if I like what I'm trying, I have an involuntary gag. Yeah. Davis knows that it's bad for his health and has sought help in the past, but said that he had trouble finding a therapist who would understand his disorder.
What's his health like if you're living on just mac and cheese?
Or would accept his insurance. He now drives 90 minutes to visit McCann, and he also works out 4 times a week, mostly boxing, to try to stay in as good a shape as he can.
Huh.
I said, I definitely need physical activity to keep myself fit. It is to counteract my terrible, awful, carb-filled diet.
Wow.
So he's a slave to it. He doesn't really like it.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, it's wild. How about this? A pair of Italian motorists who tried to make a compensation claim with their insurance company after their vehicle supposedly collided with a wild boar were busted when it emerged that the animal was frozen.
It was a frozen boar?
Investigators believe the wild pig had been killed long before it was stashed in a freezer and then brought out by the two men when they staged the accident on a road in Sardinia. The men had hoped to claim compensation for the accident from the regional government of the island. Such claims are routine in rural areas of Italy, where cars often collide with boar, deer, and other large wild animals.
Was there a mistake saying that a frozen boar ran out in front of the car?
But police became suspicious when they noticed that the boar did not bear injuries compatible with a collision. A vet was summoned to inspect the carcass and discovered the boar's internal organs were frozen. They didn't thaw him properly.
Yeah, you got to thaw your boar.
The two men have been accused of insurance fraud and, if convicted, face a heavy fine and up to a year in prison. Hey, here's a follow-up story for you. Kent State University released a statement Sunday responding to the arrest of an alleged prowler near the college campus. Remember I told you this guy was showing up naked?
Right.
Stephen Franzreb is accused of showing up nearly naked outside of KSU sorority houses. In case you were wondering if it was a fraternity prank,
yeah,
he's 43 years old.
Oh, that's an old fraternity brother.
Police said the investigation started on August 22nd when the man showed up completely nude to a sorority house. A few days later, returned with a Speedo on. Another incident occurred earlier in the month when he showed up at a different Kent State sorority house, again wearing a Speedo. He walked onto the porch and waved at the doorbell camera. And he was FaceTiming. Police said the suspect also sent photos of himself with disparaging messages written on his chest to sorority members via Instagram. He was arrested without incident.
Any explanation of what issue he had, or was this to get off, or was he performance artist, or does he just like showing people his balls?
Maybe it's the balls thing.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. All right, and then we'll end with this story. What sounds like a scene from a horror film is really for the Lestinia. It's a reality for the Lestina family. Their basement, and I saw a picture of this.
Oh, yeah.
Is filled with nearly 5 inches of animal blood, fat, and bones as a result of drainage from a meat locker next door.
That's horrific.
Yeah. And it looks like it's
like a pool, horror.
Pool of blood. The family has lived in their home next to the Dahl's custom meat locker for 10 years, but have never had major issues until recently. Nick Lestina said the ownership of the plant changed within last year. He said they haven't reached out at all. In fact, they haven't taken the accountability for it. They say that it's not their fault and told me, good luck. If I want to do anything about it, it's on my dime and my schedule.
That's not our blood.
Lestina said that he has been in touch with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, which is handling the investigation, and has been in touch with the meat locker. The meat locker, from my standpoint, he said, has been pretty cooperative. This is actually from Kevin Wilkin, an environmental specialist senior with the Iowa DNR. He said, the meat locker, by my standpoint, has been pretty cooperative. They've worked with me to come up with a permanent solution so the animal blood, fat, and all that stuff is no longer discarded down those floor drains. He said,
who's going to clean out the basement here?
He said the owner, Caitlin Dahl, said the meat locker had killed hogs and cattle on Thursday and flushed the blood down the floor drain. Upon questioning, she said she believes the floor drain discharged into a tile, which is likely connected to Lestina's floor drain via the same pipe. So the Iowa Department of Health got involved because it was a health hazard. The department recommended the family of 7 live somewhere else in the meantime to avoid any potential biohazards.
Just live somewhere else.
Lestina said the Dahl family has been non-compliant in helping cover any cost. Lestina said the blood would have continued rising if it weren't for his sump pump. But they are continuing to investigate it. But it looks pretty wild.
Yeah, why should the family? It's not the family's fault.
I don't know. Unless there's something wrong with their pipe. Not really sure. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file.
It's crazy.
Yep. There is an event that is coming up, and we have a gentleman who is here to speak about the specifics of it. And this is from the Philadelphia Police Foundation.
Yes.
And MMR is involved with this. The inaugural Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa. And we would like to welcome Eric Cushing to the program this morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, Eric? Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Preston.
We recall you from the days of the Special Olympics, your work with the Polar Bear Plunge and so on.
Yes, the Polar Bear Plunge. 10 years at Special Olympics and started at the Police Foundation this past January.
Right. I've never done it. I hate cold water. I can't bring myself to do it. It's one of those things where I'm like, I will gladly donate some money, but I'm not getting in that water.
Yeah, Steve was the man.
You did it, right?
I did it, yes. Yeah. And you know what? It's also a great time. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot that goes on there. If you've never done that, but this is a different thing that doesn't involve freezing your ass off.
Just running.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the run and what the benefit will be.
Absolutely. So the Philly Police Foundation exists where the city's budget ends. That's where we come in, whether it be equipment, technology, training, special programs. That's what the Philadelphia Police Foundation is in place for. And this is our first public fundraising event. And we said, you know, you have the Broad Street Run is such a juggernaut, 40,000 people, 10-miler. Can we capture some of that magic? And let's do the Market Street Run. And so it'll be a 5-miler. You can run or walk. It'll
right.
be at 8 a.m. Next Sunday, the 27th. Cost is $50 at this point. Wawa came on as the presenting sponsor. And come on out. It's a great workout. Again, a 5-miler. But you can, you know, high five. Thank your police officers. Philly PD will be out there. But we've actually got police in the entire region that'll be participating.
So this runs down Market Street?
Yeah. So we will start at Front and Dock. Loop okay. onto Market at 2nd Street in Old City, go all the way out just before 30th Street Station and back. We'll take north around City Hall, then south around City Hall.
So, nice.
So really 95% of the run is on Market.
That's actually that's a solid course. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
We're excited about it. Like, it's different. Hopefully people will gravitate to it. Again, Broad Street, you got to train for that. That's 10 miles. You're not just, you know, rolling out of bed and doing 10 miles. But I think a lot of weekend warriors.
Yeah, can, if you've done a 5K, yeah, you can bang out 5 miles.
I ran a 5K without ever running a 5K. It's not exactly. not that hard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So 5 miles, that's cool. And it's a flat run.
Very flat. And you're it's scenic, right? Like, it feels like.
It is really nice.
If I ran from 2nd to 30th, that doesn't, and back, it doesn't feel like 5 miles, right? It's going to feel.
Yeah,
totally.
Then you just get on a train and leave. You can hop across to the station.
What time of day is this going to be taking place?
So it'll be 8 a.m., and it'll be followed at 9 a.m. by a police community festival. So we will have law enforcement from the Attorney General's office, Philly PD, Homeland Security, SEPTA PD. We will have all kinds of folks and Wawa serving food and drinks from 9 to noon. Right at the finish line, essentially.
Hey, can people run in the race with strollers?
Yes, so strollers are okay. Animals, pets are not okay. So you can't run with a dog, but you can absolutely run or walk with a stroller.
And how much does it cost to participate?
Yeah, so right now the cost is $50, and it'll be that right up through Sunday morning. You can register the morning of the race, but we're sending everybody to marketstreetrun.org. So marketstreetrun.org is where you can sign up. You can actually sign up literally 6 a.m. Sunday morning, come get your bib at 7:30 and be on the course at 8 a.m. with everyone else.
Are there any prizes or anything for first place? Are you guys...
So we will recognize the winners. So there'll be a top three, male and female. There'll be age brackets and whatnot. So yes, but just a medal, Kathy. No cash prize.
Yes, yeah. And if you want a cash prize, you donate it back.
Exactly.
Because you guys do a lot. This is a good thing, obviously, to provide this stuff. As you said, it sort of fills the gap that the regular budget won't cover.
Yeah, so every major city has to make decisions at some point between the streets department, schools, education, the fire department. So the police department, eventually the budget stops, and we come in there to fill those gaps, Steve, as you said. And Wawa stepped up in a huge way. Johnson Controls stepped up in a huge way. We've got about $130,000 raised already, almost 1,000 people signed up.
Wow.
So we think it's going to be a great first year, and we hope it grows from there.
That's awesome.
You're going to run in it?
you're
a fit guy.
Steve knows this. So I would always do the plunge at the polar plunges. I can't do it only because I'm going to be working. I would love to do it. There's just too much going on, too many moving parts. So I'll do it later that day.
But you don't even have to run. Not saying you specifically, but if you just want to go, it's a scenic walk.
Sure.
It's just a scenic, nice walk.
Yeah, and that is an important piece of it. You can walk this. So you have to be off the course by 9:45 a.m. So you have to walk at a 20-minute a mile pace. But if you can walk 5 miles, you are more than welcome to do the loop in a 5 mile walk, as long as you're keeping a 20-minute a mile pace.
And I'm not sure how much information I can give or you can give, but if the public knew some of the conditions that the police officers work in and the equipment that they had, or I guess the lack thereof, this is a great cause, and it's things that we need to put in their hands so that they can safely protect us and our community.
Well, we've heard about substandard radios. We've heard about all sorts of stuff that's being dealt with. We all know, and many of us have, police in the family. That's it. These are the people that are out there protecting us. And if you guys aren't equipped to do what you need to do, then we all suffer.
Well, think about the wear and tear There are horrendous. Thousands out there every day.
Yeah.
And that stuff gets broken. So things need to be repaired, fixed, paid for, new equipment, new technology. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can give you one really kind of interesting example of something we funded if we have a quick minute,
yep.
Preston.
Yeah.
So about a year and a half ago, a father was killed on Spring Garden Street with a two-year-old in the backseat. I don't know yep. if you guys remember that story, yep. but it was a pretty notorious story. When that happens, so the commissioner described to us when that happens – his team goes into action. Philadelphia was set up where Philly PD, SEPTA, University Police, Secret Service, FBI, they all have their own intel, and they were all housed in a siloed database. So the police department came to the foundation and said, we want to fund this software. It's called InfoShare that will allow all those siloed databases to talk to each other. So I use the example of the father that was killed. When that happened, the commissioner said it took 18 hours for all the detectives to track down all of that information. You know, you're looking at video from SEPTA. You're tracking, you know, was this guy on an FBI list? All
right.
Tracking all that down took 18 hours with this InfoShare software that the foundation purchased. It was $250,000 software. All of that time would have been cut down to 6 hours. So you're talking about a murderer on the street for an extra 12 hours. You're talking about the cost of detectives chasing down all this information. Cutting that down by a third or by two-thirds, essentially, is what that software did. And we can cut through some red tape. So when the city has to purchase something, there's all kinds of procurement and bidding and whatnot. The foundation was able to come in, purchase that software in January. That software is now operable and in use as of April of this past year.
So you make a donation, you make an investment in your own safety, your family safety.
Just one example, and Steve, you mentioned the other thing, equipment, you know, yeah. SWAT helmets, things like that. You know, those expire, and the city isn't always able to you know, replace them immediately upon their expiration. If it's necessary, we'll come in and do that.
Yep.
Excellent. Wonderful. All right, well, the event is on the 27th. We got it easily set aside for you at PrestonSteve.com, WMMR.com, and click on events. And you will find it, or you can check out MarketStreetRun.org. Should be pretty cool, man. All right, well, good luck with everything, Eric.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for your support.
Eric Cushing, guys. Yeah. We're going to take a break. Be back in a second. Our lesson question on the way with the trash and the music news.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We saw a fire on the way to work this morning. A telephone pole on fire.
A freaking, video of it. A freaking telephone pole.
I took a photo. I'll have to,
I thought it was a video.
No, I'll have to post it on Soch. Later on.
Soch.
There's a site called Burning, Phone.
Burning Poles?
Burningpoles.com.
Yeah, it was really strange. It was at Belmont and the Schuylkill Expressway.
And it seemed that they were just kind of letting it burn out.
Yeah, because there was a cop sitting there. Case, mm-hmm. I show that to you?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah. Somebody said The Purge. Was that you, Steve?
Yeah.
Earlier today?
Yeah, it looks like, you know, a city that just unhinged. Just things on fire randomly that nobody's doing anything about.
First sign that a city is going under is a burning pole.
Sunny tomorrow, though, high of about 60, and then sunny on Saturday, high 63. Might return with a little bit of rain on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. Going to do a lesson question today, and we are going to give away as a prize a pair of tickets for Disney in concert. Tim Burton's, no, that's not what we're giving away. We're giving away a 4-pack of tickets for Six Flags Great Adventure and Safari.
Oh!
That's what we're giving away, and the question that we are going to go with is, how about this? Who's the chief of the gayest tribe? 215-263-WMMR. Who's the chief of the gayest tribe? Why, that was said just a few minutes ago, less than an hour ago. If you know the answer, then you should call because we got a prize up for grabs. 215-263-WMMR. yum. And we will we'll do the trash while we're waiting for your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Delilah's. Delilah's presents A Night at the Movies 2, their 28th anniversary party on Wednesday, October 23rd, with guest DJ PSI. PS1. Sorry. Visit Delilahs.com for details. I was thinking pounds per square inch.
Yeah, I would have gone with that.
Yes, DJ PS1. All right, Steve, what's going on this morning?
All right, rapper ASAP Rocky admitting to being a voracious sex addict in a recent interview, saying he paid $100,000 for a specially reinforced bed. ASAP Rocky says his sleep number is actually in miles per hour.
Rattlers!
60-year-old Simon Cowell admitting to getting a Silhouette soft facelift to look younger for the premiere of The X Factor. Cal says the soft facelift is a less invasive procedure that involves keeping your mouth stuffed with marshmallows.
Hey!
Apparently it works. And finally, Queen Elizabeth attended a service at London's Westminster Abbey celebrating the venerable church. The Queen was very moved by the visit, saying she fondly remembers the day it was completed 750 years ago. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. See if somebody knows who's the chief of the gayest tribe. 215-263-WMMR, and I'll go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
We saw a fire.
Yeah. We saw a fire.
All right, Mike. What is the who's the chief of the gayest tribe?
Chief Madonna.
Chief Madonna.
Chief Madonna.
Hang on the line, Mike. We're going to get your information. Casey just talked to Chief Madonna.
He apparently enjoyed it.
Yeah, he did. We are going to give you some tickets, four of them, for Six Flags Great Adventure and Safari. And you can take your fear for a ride at Six Flags Fright Fest with over 20 haunted attractions and more zombies than ever before. Thrills by day, fright by night. Weekends through November 3rd. We now go to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Anyway.
All right, brought to you by Delilah's. Ah, Delilah's presents A Night at the Movies 2, their 28th anniversary party. Wednesday, October 23rd, with guest DJ...
PSI?
With guest DJ PS1.
PS1?
Is it supposed to be DJ PS1 or guest DJ?
Guest DJ?
With guest DJ PS1. Delilahs.com for details.
Listen, if you're a fan of PS1, this is your night.
That's your night. So, Soundgarden guitarist Kim Thayil says that the band's nomination this week for entry into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gives him further incentive to continue restoring and reissuing both the band's existing catalog as well as unreleased material from the group.
Huh.
I think it's a good idea. Soundgarden was in the early stages of work on its seventh studio album in 2017 when Chris Cornell committed suicide, effectively ending the group. So, you know, there's stuff sitting around, and Kim thinks they should put it out. And I think they should.
They should. Do they have anything sans vocals? Do they have any...
Any instrumentals?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not really sure.
Hmm.
Soundgarden was nominated for the Hall of Fame, of course, for the first time earlier this week. Part of a class of nominees that also includes Judas Priest, Motorhead, Thin Lizzy, Nine Inch Nails, Depeche Mode, Dave Matthews Band, and several others. Ghost mastermind Tobias Forge has told Worcester Magazine in a new interview that he is looking forward to expanding the band's live show beyond what the band was able to present this year as it toured behind his fourth album, Prequel.
It's going
to
be cuckoo nutty.
He said, I think what we're delivering this fall is really good, but I know that we can do so much better. Not because of our will, but because of the opportunities and, while I hate to say it, the economy. If we take it a few steps further, I know that in 2021 or 2022, there will be a lot of things that people haven't seen that I've had in mind for years and that I hopefully get to accomplish at that point. Metallica and Realtors? No. Trafalgar Releasing? Is that what it says? I guess so. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Have added one more night of worldwide screenings on October 30th for SNM2, the concert film documenting the band's two recent performances with San Francisco Symphony at that city's new Chase Center Arena. Following last week's initial run of screenings worldwide, The film became the largest ever global rock event cinema release, having earned $5.5 million at the box office across more than 95 countries in more than 3,700 cinemas worldwide.
So they've done, a couple of bands have done concert movie releases like this.
Yeah, Rush did one.
Yeah. How successful was that one? Do you remember?
Don't know. Yeah. Didn't see a follow-up on it. The box office in North America saw the film reach $1.2 million. It achieved a significant global screen average of $1,500 with 460,000 admissions. And finally, Fozzie frontman Chris Jericho portrays a Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard in the new movie from Kevin Smith, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. Jericho and Smith first revealed that the wrestler-turned-singer was playing a white supremacist leader during an interview, but Jericho confirmed it again on Wednesday alongside a quick video of his appearance in the film. Jericho wrote on Instagram, "The KKK cat's out of the bag." Yes, I play a KKK Grand Wizard in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, and yes, my character has a crappy and hilarious exit out of the movie.
I wonder if an actual Klansman used that joke.
KKK
cats out of the bag.
And there you go. That's what I have for you. Music news. We have a new Daily Rush video that is for your consumption. And the title is, "This Haunted Attraction Will Tear Your Butthole to Shreds." Yes.
I watched it last night. It's a short, but it packs a wallop.
Said we don't know why or how, but that's what Preston told us. And it's here. You want to hear the audio?
Yeah.
Cream of the Scream, stop number two, Base Motel Haunted Hayride tonight at 6 o'clock.
Such a good time.
It's going to be a beautiful night tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
Just cloudy skies, a little bit cool, perfect for getting your ass
your funk on.
Destroyed by being scared. Why did I just say get your ass destroyed?
What the hell are they doing down there?
Why did I just say ass?
Get your ass destroyed.
What? I cannot sit down. My ass was destroyed at the Bates Motel.
You can watch this now at PrestonSteve.com, and it is sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. Let's take a break, shall we? We'll come back and get ready to wrap stuff up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. We'll give that away tomorrow. You need the letter, and we'll get it next.
Here comes the MMR. What's going
on? Join Brent Porsche tonight from 7 to 9 at Stanley's on Folk Road in Wilmington for the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle. Enter to win Eagles tickets and signed Eagles merch courtesy of Bud Light Platinum and enjoy 275 Bud and Bud Light pints and 375 Bud Light Platinum 16-ounce cans. Saturday from 11 to 1, Nick McElwain rocks Hand in Stone in the Willow Grove Shopping Center. Learn about their great services, enjoy food from Smoked Food Truck, and enter to win a one-year membership and tickets to the best haunted attractions in the area.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks. Here comes the MMRB. What's going
on? Saturday from 10 till noon, Marissa Magnata rocks Studio Day at Newman University. From experienced instructors and the latest technologies to real-world internships, there are no limits to your success at Newman. Register at newman.edu/studio day. Join Brent Poor Saturday from noon till 2 at T-Mobile in the bottom level of Fashion Mall, Philadelphia at 901 Market Street. See for yourself why T-Mobile is America's most loved wireless brand. The MM Army is powered by Winter Airport Parking, Philadelphia's premier airport parking service. Guaranteed bookings at winterairportparking.net.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
We need to do a lot of thank yous because we had a lot of people on the program this morning. I want to start with members of the Philadelphia Union who came by. We had Alejandro Bedoya come by.
Yay!
And the other guy. It was Aurelin Collin. I couldn't get his name right. Aurelin Collin. Super nice guys, and they are ready to take on their first playoff game in Chester since 2011. They are playing the New York Red Bulls on Sunday.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. I'm happy for them, man. The fans of the union who attend regularly are just rabid, so they're going to love it. Thank you also to Aaron Blayart, who came by. He is the senior producer for Conan O'Brien, and very nice guy, very energetic, lots of stories to tell, and a very talented guy, too. Thank you also to actor John Capellas.
That was cool.
Yeah. Carl the janitor from Breakfast Club and the oily bohunk from 16 Candles.
I love that he did the line, you know, about, I guess, you know, she's, you know, when she's having her period.
Yeah.
He's on the,
yeah, guy about to get married, feel pretty stupid right about now. Hey, Padre. Very nice guy. It was good to have him on. And also, thank you to Eric Cushing, Philadelphia Police Foundation, who came by to promote the Market Street Run for Blue and Police Community Family Festival, which is presented by Wawa and supported by WMMR on Sunday, October 27. Details at PhillyPoliceFoundation.org. So it was fun today. We had a good time.
It was a good time.
We got to do the letter of the day, so Case is going to handle that one. You ready?
Yahoo.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
A, as in aardvark.
All right, and we have a trip for two to the premiere of Warner Brothers Pictures, Dr. Sleep, on Tuesday, October 29th. At the Regency Theater in Los Angeles, and the film is a follow-up to Stephen King's The Shining and was written and directed by Mike Flanagan and will be in theaters nationwide on Friday, November 8th. So we'll give that away tomorrow already. Pretty cool. Another, we've, I think it might be like 3 weeks in a row we've had a...
These trips are fantastic.
An L.A. trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, a film premiere trip. Which
for
is really
for cool movies.
Yeah, I love that. I'll take a moment to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by French... Why is this not going? There we go. French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. We have had issues
all day.
With everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? And also brought to you by the Penn Medicine Virtua Cancer Program. Let's see what we have in store for tomorrow. We are going to have... comedian Brendan Schaub in the studio.
Very cool.
And we will also have Tim Blake Nelson and Karen Kendrick here.
Whoa.
Tim Blake Nelson, you know who he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He played Delmer.
Yes.
And he is another one of these character actors.
Does a lot of work.
Comedies, dramas. He was in The Incredible Hulk. He's been in lots of stuff. You know this guy. I'm really interested in meeting him. So that and more tomorrow morning. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
No business name is what I want to say it anyway. Doc, for all the musicians, they're a bunch of bums. They screwed up. They cancel it. Now my money's tied up for 72 hours. I want my $3,000 back.
Next message.
To my super awesome, mega, incredible daughter, Violet. Happy birthday, Monday. And Ava, happy birthday today. And many more. And Riley, love you too.
Next message.
Remember, it's all funny games till someone pisses off Kathy.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.